I'm aghast. Oh, whoa, gambling?
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
Sunday, March 3rd, 2024. This is your award-winning Gamer Nation Media Assassination, episode 1639.
This is No Agenda.
Antivirus for your mind. And broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country, right here in FEMA Region number 6. In the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we're celebrating Women's History Month, I'm John C. Dvorak.
Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
I have not noticed much of this celebratory month. Have you?
Well, it just started.
Well, I know, but it just started. It's 3 days in, and I haven't noticed anything. This is weird. It's weird. Yeah.
Women's history events that took place. There was the interview with Tucker Carlson.
Oh, please. How about this? There is a 75th anniversary celebration of democracy with Amy Goodman. It's KPFA 75 years of building community trust. It's in Berkeley, right in your backyard. You can go hang with Amy. Shelly, you want tickets?
75 years of subversive programming over the air. Somehow they kept their license.
Hey, I can get you tickets. Would you like tickets?
Tickets.
It's $25 for tickets, and you can hang out. You can rub shoulders with Amy Goodman. Yeah. Yeah, baby. Hey, something beautiful happened, and it's one of those things where it's like something cool happens, and then you're looking at what happened, and then all of a sudden, you find out it was all a setup.
You mean like every other thing that we discuss?
Yeah, true. But this one is very interesting. This is the German Air Force top brass.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing how it happens. You thought it only happened to Victoria Nuland, the famous FDEU call. But there's some more details that have come out about this wiretap as the German Air Force top brass was talking about, bombing stuff.
The German government says Russia wiretapped a conversation between German Air Force generals about the war in Ukraine. The officers are heard discussing Ukrainian forces using German-made Taurus cruise missiles to attack the bridge linking Crimea to Russia. Now, Germany has so far refused to supply Kyiv with the long-range weapons. The defense ministry in Berlin has also now confirmed that the conversation, which surfaced on social media, was tapped. Chancellor Olaf Scholz is promising swift clarification for the recording.
What is being reported is very serious. That's why it is necessary to begin a very thorough, intensive, and rapid investigation.
Alexandra, this seems like a real embarrassment for Berlin. Have we heard any further reaction from Chancellor Scholz?
No, Olaf Scholz kept his cool here in Rome. We just got this one statement on the matter, a statement in which the German Chancellor stressed that this is a serious matter that is being investigated, but then he went on with his program here in Rome. But of course we know that he also knows that he is facing uncomfortable questions at home, especially when it turns out it's true that this conversation among high-ranking German officers was conducted not on a secret internal army network, but on the WebEx platform, despite repeated warnings by Germany's intelligence services that Russia uses espionage and sabotage as part of its hybrid war. And we are already hearing from lawmakers in Germany, from lawmakers in the opposition, but also from members of the coalition that
I'm sorry you're bored. I
know I'm bored, but I'm, a bit. But that's not the point. I think you should have set this clip up because I don't think a lot of people know what you're talking about.
You're kidding me.
No.
Well, I set the clip up. I said there was
not, not to the extent that I think it should be set up, which is, what were these guys talking about?
Well, listened to it. No, wait. I'm doing it in the other order. because this is the only news people are getting. The only news people are getting is, oh, there was a leaked call on the WebEx. Now, thank you. Now we need to talk about what they were talking about, which is blowing up the bridge that goes to Crimea and using Taurus missiles for that, talking about there already being British boots on the ground, American boots on the ground, and now we continue with the next clip.
In his speech at the Congress of the European Socialists here in Rome, he once again said he doesn't want to see boots on the ground in Ukraine, that everything needs to be done to prevent a war between Russia and NATO. However, we also have to say that the argument that was put forward by the German government, why they are not willing to send the Taurus cruise missile to Ukraine. The argument was that for that, there would need to be German soldiers on the ground in Ukraine. And during this tapped conversation, we learned that actually that is not justified, that there don't need to be German soldiers on the ground. So we'll see how the discussion is going to be led in the long term, but in the short term, I don't think that the German chancellor is going to change his mind on that.
Now, remember, just earlier this week, the Chancellor Scholz came out and said, no, we're not going to send any Taurus missiles. We're not doing that. We're not going to be a part of that because we don't want Germany, fighting a war with Russia. And this is the interesting part. This call came out on social media. Deutsche Welle is the first one, as far as I know, that had it in mainstream media. And the narrative is continuously, the Russians did it, the Russians leaked it.
So what could be Russia's aim in publishing this kind of sensitive intelligence and doing it now?
I would say that it's two aims. The first one is to signal to the German government and to German army leadership that Russia knows what is being debated on closed meetings. So Russia has obviously kind of access to these talks and can tape them and can publish them in general. And the second one is the Russia wants to Germany to make Germany think twice before delivering cruise missiles like Taurus to the Ukraine or delivering any other kind of heavy weapons to the Ukraine, because the question is how far can Germany go and how far wants Germany go in supporting the Ukraine without becoming a part of this war.
Now, listen, Russia has not claimed anything. They have not said that they tapped this and they put this out. And in fact, I don't think they did. I think this is the military-industrial complex signaling to Scholz, dude, yes, you will. We need purchases. You need to buy Taurus missiles. We need those in the field. You need to get, hello, we're looking for your order. We're looking for more orders. Because on Wednesday, Deutsche Welle, same network that has this, the Russians, WebEx. The same Deutsche Welle interviewed Ben Hodges for 20 minutes, who lives in Germany now, just as an aside. He used to be the Allied commander for the U.S. in Europe. And he had some very interesting things to say about Herr Scholz.
Secretary General Stoltenberg, superb. Admiral Bauer, the chairman of the military committee, superb. General Cavoli, supreme Allied commander, superb. But the nations do seem disjointed. And I think, to be candid, unfortunately, the German Bundeskanzler seems the one that is the most out of step with everybody else.
Wait, hold on, back. Did he say Chancellor or Chancellor?
Let me see.
And I think, to be candid, unfortunately, the German Bundeskanzler.
Well, he's saying he lives there, so it's Kanzler in German. So he's saying Chancellor because, that's like when Madonna lived in London for a while and she would have that phony accent. But it does come out as Chancellor, which is kind of funny. But unfortunately, he's not on board. Remember, this is before this call was leaked.
Unfortunately, the German Bundeskanzler seems the one that is the most out of step with everybody else. It must be really painful for him to be having to do things he's doing now, providing aid to Ukraine, building up the Bundeswehr, different from what he ever imagined he would be doing when he was a younger politician.
So we have to teach him a lesson.
But it's essential. I mean, Germany, the most prosperous, richest country in Europe, the massive industrial capacity, has got to help guide. Otherwise, if Ukraine fails, we're going to be in a terrible conflict with Russia in Europe, and Germany is going to pay a massive price.
I'm telling you, this is, listen to this. Listen carefully what he's saying. The military-industrial complex leaked this call to send a message to Scholz.
But the thing they always wanted to avoid is coming back.
Mm. But we have to be fair with the German chancellor.
No,
there
we don't.
There was this Zeitenwende-Rede, and they're really like increasing the spending of, in the military budget.
Absolutely. That's what's so confusing.
Yeah.
Is because 2 years ago, it was like, you know, Zeitenwende, 100 billion euros.
Yeah.
Even the other day.
Yeah. 2 years ago, he was all on board. He was like, yeah, we're going to send you 100 billion euros. We're buying all this stuff. It's confusing. He needs a little prompting, I think.
You know, he's out there breaking ground for an ammunition factory. Another thing I'm sure he never imagined he would do. These are all good, positive steps. Germany agreeing to a brigade, Brigada Litauen, by 2027. These are very powerful, strong signals. But then on the other hand, here in just the last few days, he's undone or damaged this sense of Germany really leaning forward with the almost panicky statement, like, we're not going to put troops on the ground, and the absolute refusal to provide Taurus. I mean, very, very clearly, no way we're going to do that. Which I think is unfortunate, because that would really be helpful to Ukraine.
We have ways to make you comply, Scholz. I'm telling you, we did this. We did this.
I'm not going to argue that we did. I'm pretty sure we did this.
Oh, yeah, but it's old Russia.
And then the bull crap about, oh, don't use WebEx because our intelligence services say not to, but they did it anyway. That's not the way things go.
It's the best.
If you're told by the intelligence groups not to use WebEx, you don't go off with a phone call like this on WebEx.
No, of course not. And it was really cavalier, these guys, too.
You also, Deutsche Welle is outlet for the CIA's, it's a voice,
of reason, of reason.
It's a speakerphone for the CIA, so they're, yes, whatever they do is suspect.
Dude, we were tapping Angela Merkel's phone. We were tapping Angela Merkel's phone during Obama. Come on, Germany, get with it. Now, this was, oh, I'm sorry, Scholz. And you're not hearing anything about the content of the message. No, all you're hearing is, oh, yeah, it's unfortunate you don't want to use these Taurus missiles. These are great. What does one of these Taurus missiles cost? What's one Taurus pop? This is all, it's all so sick.
We can look it up.
Yeah, I mean, war is just money, money, money.
Money, 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 money.
We're now printing money at the rate of, what was it? $1 trillion about every 100 days. That's what I'm hearing. Have you heard this? Is it just a meme?
No, I have not.
Oh, this is from CNBC. The U.S. national debt is rising by $1 trillion about every 100 days. That's 3 months. You know, so, why are we printing it? To buy stuff for Ukraine, which, don't worry, everybody, it goes right here in America. Someone actually gave me, who was this? Eric. He said a couple of times recently that somehow the government is propping up the U.S. economy by sending money to Ukraine, and it's absolutely true. The way you calculate GDP in economics is by adding up consumer spending, government spending, domestic investment, basically capital expenditures by corporations, and net exports. So when we hand buckets of cash to the military-industrial complex, it increases government spending, and when they decide to upgrade or build a new factory, it increases domestic investment. By printing money and handing it to military contractors, the GDP goes up. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah.
Well, there it
is. The missiles cost $1 million.
That's
each.
All?
Yeah, they're cheap.
Well, but that's wholesale. What do we sell them for retail? That's only $1 million. Nah.
Yeah.
No. Wow. Well, I'm surprised by that. They need to order a whole bunch.
Oh, yeah, I'd say.
1,000 at
hundred.
Least. 1,000.
1,000 missiles.
100, thousands of missiles. Nah, man, this is...
These guys have got the screw loose. Why don't you get to the... how come there's all this talk and no talk about going to the negotiating table?
Well, that would be wrong.
Oh.
Yeah, well, we have... let's see. I mean, they're so desperate right now. Anderson 360 is like, what can we do? Let's bring out Garry Kasparov. Let's bring out the chess guy. That makes sense.
Does anyone bring him out for anything ever? He's just a complainer.
Here he is.
In a position where Ukraine artillery in the counteroffensive were firing, I think it was 80 shells a day. Now they can only fire about 10 because they just don't have the ammo. Because Republicans in Congress won't pass anything.
You hear all time and again that...
They went from... there was 20, and now it's 10. And this thing is having... quicker than Bitcoin.
Oh, the GDP of NATO countries versus Russia, Iran, North Korea, this coalition of axis of evil is 25-1. Who cares if Russia can fire 6-7 times more shells? I mean, North Korea than Ukrainians. North Korea provided more shells to Russia than the entire Europe. Mm. You're telling me that these politicians are serious? Ukrainians are bleeding, defending their country, freedom, NATO. And also they're trying to stop this maniac. And the free world is still contemplating how we can deal with that. And Putin, look at him a couple of days ago. He delivered his speech. And he was happy. And all this talks about, let's wait for Russian people to rise. Navalny tried. He tried to show that something could be done in Russia. It was, I'm not sure it was politically a smart move, but you cannot criticize acts of personal heroism. Mm. He paid with his life for that. The day he was murdered, Putin had to pay $300 billion of Russian money frozen. What are you waiting for, President Biden?
There you go. What are you waiting for, Biden? Take the money. $300 billion. Take the money. That's why Garry Kasparov is there. Get that $300 billion. Get it. By the way, I found out that Zelensky is no longer officially president of Ukraine.
What?
Yeah, they didn't have elections. The term is up, and there's no provision in the Ukrainian constitution or whatever they have. that automatically extends his power. So he can't really even sign a peace treaty. He's not officially the president. Just as a little side note there.
Yeah, this is a, what do you call it? A
scam?
No, fine print. No, it is a... technicality.
There is no fine print. There's no fine
technicality.
Print.
Technicality. He still signed the thing, and nobody would say anything.
Wow.
They're not. What difference does it make? They're not negotiating. They're not talking about negotiating.
Yeah.
It's not even brought up by anybody, even in the news media. Nobody says anything about it.
No, because that's otherwise our economy collapses unless we can start a new war. Now I think we're going to do Hezbollah, but that's tiny. The Israel thing is tiny. Hezbollah is tiny. Ukraine is just too much of a bonanza. I don't see how they can ever replace it unless we go Iran. But we need tanks, and this is what they like: tanks and missiles and lots of bullets.
Yeah, old school stuff.
Yeah, old school stuff. Yeah, they don't want to have something. Like, nuclear war is no good. It's no good.
Yeah, it'd be okay for the rebuilding.
Yeah, but you get the
cleanup crews.
Yeah, I mean, people, you should read. Diary of an Economic Hitman? Is it the diary? Diary of an Economic Hitman.
Confessions.
Yeah, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. The original version, not the reprint, not the updated version. John Perkins, and explains exactly how this goes. And the rebuilding of Ukraine is already starting. They're already starting in Kiev. That's what some of the European money's for. And meanwhile, Putin, of course, gave his annual State of the Union address, as covered by the BBC.
Vladimir Putin has been giving a State of the Nation address. He talked about the risks of a nuclear war and said the West provoked the war in Ukraine. We'll hear that in a moment. First, though, let's take a look at some of the claims he made. He said Russia is gaining territory in what he insisted was a defensive operation in Ukraine. He thanked members of the armed forces fighting in Ukraine and their families at home. But he didn't mention what it might take for Russia to end its military action in Ukraine. And nor did he touch on what's been happening to his political rivals, like the opposition leader Alexei Navalny, while Vladimir Putin had this message for Western countries supporting Ukraine's military.
They are talking about sending NATO military contingents to Ukraine. But we can recall what happened to those who used to send their contingents to our country. The consequences for these potential intruders will be much more tragic now.
Oh.
They need to finally understand that we too have weapons, and they know that. I have just mentioned we too have weapons that can strike targets on their territory. And everything that they're thinking of now, everything that they use to threaten us and the world, that all this is a real threat of nuclear weapons being used, which spell destruction of civilization.
Yeah, happy times. Happy times, Vlad. Why isn't he dead from cancer? Why isn't he dead from Parkinson's?
Or the other ailments
yeah,
that he
whatever
was,
else
you know,
he had.
Supposedly had, yeah.
So then...
Well, maybe as a... I know there are body doubles of him because they've been seen in the wild.
Yeah. So then there was Alexei Navalny's funeral in Moscow, which was attended by thousands of people. Deutsche Welle had it. France 24 had it. But CNN, oh, no.
We were supposed to have CNN's Matthew Chance at the site of Navalny's funeral service. However, his signal appears to be blocked.
Oh, no.
CNN's chief international correspondent, Clarissa Ward, is joining us now from London. Clarissa, we were able to have Matthew talk with us a little bit earlier on in the show. Show us some of those crowds outside the funeral. I mean, the world is watching. What are you watching today?
Yes. What are you watching?
Well, at the moment, we're not able to
Formula
watch
One.
Very much because, as you say, it appears that live signal has been jammed. That's the same situation facing Navalny's team.
This is the new glitch. The signal's being jammed.
Who had also been putting out a live signal from the church.
It was live streamed on Facebook.
Today is as much about who is not there as who is there. Who is not there is Alexei Navalny's daughter, Dasha, his son, Zakhar, and his wife, Yulia Navalnaya, who has been speaking publicly and boldly against President Putin since her husband was killed. She just addressed the European Parliament a few days ago. She met with President Biden in San Francisco while she was visiting her daughter last week, who is a student at Stanford University. Yeah. And she has indicated that she is really going to take the mantle, as it were, as a leading force in Russia's opposition. But very telling that she is not there today. And of course, one can only presume just how dangerous it would be for her to even attempt to go back to Russia at this stage, Casey.
This whole report is just bull crap. There was no signal jamming. Your stuff doesn't work, CNN. Why can't she go back? Is she on the hit list, or did she have a scheduling conflict? It makes no sense that she can't go back for the funeral. I mean, they're not actually.
Why is this funeral such a big deal to any Americans whatsoever?
Because it's Alexei Navalny.
Or to anybody in the world whatsoever. Navalny was a minor character.
Ah, yeah, but you don't understand media.
I understand media.
There's the quote, everybody. Well, that's it. It's to make it all scary, extra, extra scary. Yeah, well, no worries, everybody. There's not going to be a nuclear war, but there will be more cool stuff that we need to get into Ukraine. And Scholz will buy. He will buy. He's got to. Foregone conclusion.
Well, I don't think blowing up that bridge is going to be a good idea.
They're not going to blow up the bridge.
No, but that's what they keep talking about.
Well, they already tried that.
No.
No.
Yeah, that didn't work out either.
But they're not sincere about it. That's what I mean. It's like if they really wanted to blow up the bridge, it would have blown up the bridge.
Well, you listen to the thing and you can understand German. And you yourself said that it was it was cavalier in the way it was done. And I'm thinking they're just reading from a script for the purposes of getting it on tape.
Yeah, possibly.
So they can roll out the whole thing and make a big fuss.
It's amazing how much English words they use. I'm always surprised by that when I go to the Netherlands, how much English is infused into the language. You know, they're talking about QT, you know, like, and QA and quality assurance and all these things.
Quality assurance.
Quality testing. Yeah, yeah. And I think he even said, one said boots on the ground. I mean, it's ridiculous.
That's from listening to our show.
Well, there you go. The whole thing is ridiculous. It's just to prop up the world. They need to get Trump in real quick. Trump loves to buy military stuff. He doesn't like war, which is good. Trump's even better. He gets all the spending without the killing. I mean,
he does. He does. That's actually a skill.
Yeah, it's a benefit. I'm all on board with that. You know, give everybody jobs, build up your arsenal, and stop killing. That would be great.
So I collected some clips from, and the reason for a couple of reasons, Tucker was on Lex Fridman talking about Russia. This is a Russia stuff.
It's very interesting that you clip this. I'm surprised. Yeah,
it's
actually
interesting to me too, but the clips I have are not what you'd expect.
Okay.
They're mostly screwball clips.
Can we talk about Lex Fridman first for a second? Where he comes from? Why is he all of a sudden the guy?
Well, I want to say you said, I believe it was about Lex Fridman some months back, that he was moving in on the hegemony of Joe Rogan's long form interview style.
Yes.
And that was who you were talking about, right? Yes. Lex Fridman?
Yes, correct.
Well, I've never seen him before.
Well, he just appeared on, I looked it up because he suddenly just appeared on the scene in 2018.
Right, doing long form interviews with extremely high profile people.
Yes.
Which is not something you can just do.
Well, here's what gave him his rise to prominence. He co-authored a non-peer-reviewed study which concluded that drivers, he worked at MIT in the autonomous driving department, non-peer-reviewed study that concluded that drivers remained focused while using Tesla's semi-autonomous system. And then he got boosted by Elon Musk. So I think that's how he rose to prominence, is Elon started boosting him, which is in itself interesting. And then all of a sudden Joe Rogan was on his show. Joe Rogan brought him like a $10,000 watch as a gift, which I found interesting.
What?
Yes. Yeah. Joe.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it was $10,000, but it looked like a pretty expensive watch. And I thought that was odd at the time.
That's very odd.
At the time.
Well, the guy, okay, a couple of things. And so far as competing with Joe Rogan, he has no charisma at all.
He has the charisma of a man in black. I mean, that's literally like from the Matrix movie. That's what he looks like. That's the charisma he has. Nothing more, nothing less.
He has a pile of papers that would compete with Jen Psaki's pile of papers when she was a press secretary.
Yeah.
That he goes through, so the questions are prepared. Rogan uses the kind of, I would say Rogan is closer to Larry King in the way he does interviews.
According to Goat in the Troll Room, Joe and Lex have been friends for close to a decade? Really? Okay.
Well, how did they become friends?
I don't know. A decade. That's a long time. A decade.
Yeah, yeah. Considering one's from MIT and did studies on autonomous driving, and the other guy's a Hollywood guy.
Hmm. Okay.
That's pretty obscure. Okay, well, whatever the case. So we'll keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
So there was some interesting stuff that was in this interview with Tucker. And Tucker's an easy guy, obviously an easy guy to interview, because he's like a woman. He can talk forever.
Yes.
So I had a few cute ones here that were, I got four short clips that I thought were interesting. And let's start with, we can even skip the Navalny one if you want.
Whatever you want. But it's up to you.
Let's go with Tucker on lawyers. This was interesting.
My lawyers before I left, and these are people who work for a big law firm. This is not Bob's law firm. This is one of the biggest law firms in the world.
My lawyer, Bob, is insulted, Tucker.
Said, you're going to get arrested if you do this by the U.S. government on sanctions violations. And I said, well, I don't recognize the legitimacy of that, actually, because I'm American and I've lived here my whole life. And that's so outrageous that I'm happy to face that risk because I so reject the premise. Okay. I'm an American. I should be able to talk to anyone I want to. And I plan to exercise that freedom, which I think I was born with. And I gave them this long lecture. They're like, we're just lawyers. But that was, let me put it this way. I don't know how much you dealt with lawyers, but it costs many thousands of dollars to get a conclusion like that. Like they sent a whole bunch of their summer associates or whatever. They put a lot of people on this question, checked a lot of precedent, and they sent me a 10-page memo on it. And their sincere conclusion was, do not do this. And of course, it made me mad. So I was lecturing on the phone and I had another call with the head lawyer. And he said, well, look, a lot will depend on the questions that you ask Putin. Mm-hmm. If you're seen as too nice to him, you could get arrested when you come back. Mm. And I was like, you're describing a fascist country, okay? You're saying that the U.S. government will arrest me if I don't ask the questions they want asked? Is that what you're saying? Well, we just think based on what's happened that that's possible. And so I'm just telling you what happened.
So you were okay being arrested in Moscow?
I didn't think I was
arrested.
I didn't think for a second. I mean, maybe, look, I don't speak Russian. I'd never been there before. Mm-hmm. Everything about the culture was brand new to me. You know, ignorance does protect you sort of when you have no freaking idea what's going on. You're not worried about it. Like this has happened to me many times. There's a principle there that extends throughout life. Mm-hmm. So it's completely possible that I was in grave peril and didn't know it. Cause like, how would I know it? You know, I'm like a bumbling English speaker from California.
That's interesting. He's never been to Russia.
I found, well, there's a lot that was interesting in that, but yet there's a guy. Yeah, I know. I felt the same.
I mean, I've been to Russia. You've been to Russia. We're kind of
semi. Yeah, I was in Russia before the fall of communism.
Me too. So we're like semi. Yeah. Yes, I was there in 88, 89. We're semi-worldly guys, but we're no Tucker Carlson.
I'm always surprised by guys like Tucker Carlson at that pinnacle that he sits on has done things like never been to Russia. It seems like if you're going to be Tucker Carlson, you have been to Russia more than once.
You would think so, yeah.
So this was his first trip, so he was flabbergasted when he went. So he never got to see what you got to see. I got to see, for example, before the fall of communism, yeah, the gum store, the GUM department store, which was this giant monstrosity of the world, supposedly the world's first department store that had absolutely nothing for sale.
My favorite was when we did the Moscow Music Peace Festival, we had this huge 15-camera truck from Cinevideo in Holland who drove there. And before everything went up to the uplink, the satellite uplink, it went into this gray bus with curtains, which literally had the size of a Volkswagen bus. And that supposedly was the KGB who were there monitoring the signal. It was hilarious. I was picking up the phone. I had a 212 area code dial tone from the Westwood One truck. And these guys were sitting in this little VW bus gray with drawn curtains. It was nothing. It was shambles. Shambles, I tell you. And the only thing that was really cool was the Moscow Hells Angels that we met at 3 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah. Who apparently could just roam around and do whatever they wanted. I should now write a book about that.
You should. And I think we have a publisher, Gateview Publishing.
Yeah. Do you have a ghostwriter, though, is the question.
We have. You can write.
I can't write. I've tried this so many times. I fail. I fail at writing. I'm a verbal communicator.
Mimi was bitching at me about not plugging the eggs book.
I told her to. She called me.
Okay, too many eggs.com. Go to the website. Get a free PDF. Just live it up. By the way, we have the No Agenda. Finally, you think that it took forever for the vinegar book.
We're waiting for that. Yeah, what do we have? No Agenda what?
The No Agenda Primer, the ABCs book that Jay worked on when she was in high school.
That's a book?
Don't you remember?
Is it done?
It's so long ago.
Is it for sale?
It's going to be, she's going to the printer, so it'll be coming out. We have another website, gatevuewpublishing.com, which will have that.
Oh, this is dynamite.
You can get a PDF of that, but you don't, you want to get to buy the book. It's a kid's book. We don't know how to price it. Ask Adam, she says. She said it wants to price it for $30.
No,
$33.33. Yes. I said no.
Yes, $33.33. It will sell like hotcakes.
It's a kid's book.
Hey, my friend Ross and Marielle, they just had a kid this morning. Roman is born. I will buy a $33.33 kid's book for Roman.
Well, I was hoping to get some. Oh, thanks.
Well, you wanted more? You want to charge more?
No.
I think it's a great item. And it'll be, and we'll all sign it.
Okay. Well, anyway, well, for 33, you better sign it.
Exit strategy. Kids books. Who would have thought?
So the other thing about the this particular piece was the idea that a top law firm would tell you not to go to Russia to interview Putin as a journalist.
Well, I have something to say.
Because you might get arrested when you come back. This is what kind of lawyers are these?
Okay. Now, so there's something else. There's something going on here with a prominent person in Fredericksburg. I'm not going to mention it, but the Department of Justice is going after this person to an incredible degree. I talk to this person regularly, and
we already know who it is.
And it's trumped up. No, we haven't discussed it on the show. And
no,
quote unquote trumped up charges that should give you a clue. And the lawyers, it's unbelievable to me what they're doing. I'm like, dude, they're just making up work here. And they're just scaring you into stuff. You have nothing to fear. They're just scaring this person into, oh, well, this could happen or that can happen. And like, what? It's incredible how bad, in general, the legal profession has become. And it's millions of dollars. Millions.
This is just a gouged client.
Yes. And I bet you Tucker said thousands and thousands. I bet he paid $100,000 for that 10-page opinion. Because it wasn't Bob's law firm. By the way, Bob is our lawyer. I met him in Fredericksburg, Robert, our constitutional lawyer. That's Bob's lawyer. He's a great guy. Cost zero.
Well, that's why he's Bob.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. Good point.
All right. So anyway, I found that to be a distressing.
Yes, very distressing.
I thought that was distressing, but more distressing is this clip. This is him on Snowden.
But then there's another fact, which is that I was being surveilled by the U.S. government, intensely surveilled by the U.S. government. And this came out. They admitted it. The NSA admitted it a couple of years ago that they were up in my Signal account. And then they leaked it to the New York Times. They did that again before I left. And I know that because two New York Times reporters, one of whom I actually like a lot, said, oh, you're going, and called other people. Oh, he's going to interview Putin. I hadn't told anybody that, like anybody, like my wife, two producers, that's it. So they got that from the government. Then I'm over there. And of course I want to see Snowden, who I admire. And so we have a mutual friend. So I got his text and come on over, and Snowden does not want publicity at all. And so, but I really wanted to have dinner with him. So we had dinner in my hotel room at the Four Seasons in Moscow. And
hold on a second. How can the Four Seasons be operating in Moscow? Is that not a violation of all sanctions?
Sounds like it.
Everybody had to close. McDonald's, Burger King. But yet Four Seasons is operational.
The Four Seasons in Moscow. And I tried to convince him, you know, I'd love to do an interview, shoot it on my iPhone. You know, I'd love to take a picture together and put it on the internet because I just want to show support because I think he's been railroaded. He had no interest in living in Russia, no intention of being in Russia. The whole thing is a lie. But anyway, whatever. All this stuff. And he just said, respectfully, I'd rather not anyone know that we met. Great. The only reason I'm telling you this.
But wait a minute. Why is Tucker saying it now?
He explains it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'd rather not anyone know that we met. Great. The only reason I'm telling you this is because, and I didn't tell anybody, and I didn't text it to anybody, okay, except him. Semaphore, runs this piece saying, reporting information they got from the U.S. intel agencies, leaking against me, using my money in my name in a supposedly free country. They run this piece saying I'd met with Snowden, like it was a crime or something. So again, my interest is in the United States and preserving freedoms here, the ones that I grew up with. And if you have a media establishment that acts as an auxiliary of or acts as employees of the national security state, you don't have a free country.
Oh, hello. Wake up call for Tucker Carlson. Wow, Tucker. Do you not know that everything is recorded and all they have to do is just retrieve it when they want to? He doesn't mention, you know, the amendment that removes the warrant requirement for a FISA request. Oh, my God. Someone educate Tucker.
Well, I think he says later that he's already talked to the intel people about the fact that everything, Signal, all these crazy systems that you can, you know, supposedly are secure, aren't secure. They got by back doors and everything's being recorded. And he kind of knows that. So I think he did the story so he could slam Ben Smith and Semaphore, which is a really dubious news operation, which is out there.
By the way, what you're saying about Signal is quite an accusation, because, you know, they're a big nonprofit and they're very, very, very adamant about how secure their system is. And with that, I'd like to mention, everybody, if you're using Proton Mail for some reason, and I'm not against it, Proton Mail has decided to send everything to me encrypted, which is great. So I guess if you've had an email conversation with me, I have my encryption public key in my signature file. Proton Mail automatically encrypts your email to me, which is new. The problem is, if you don't include your public key, I can't reply to you securely. But that's a new thing. And I found that very interesting. That started happening the beginning of this week.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. So anyway, he goes on about this this meeting he had with Snowden. That's what happened, and it was blowing out.
Of course, Semaphore. Anything that Professor Scott Galloway likes reading, it's got to be compromised. He and Kara Swisher always like, "Oh, Semaphore. I love reading Semaphore." Well, of course, it's run by your intel agencies. We got it.
I don't think it's that good.
No, that's why they read it. They're not informed. Hello.
Okay, so. Okay.
It's Kara and Scott, man.
What am I doing? I don't get it. So, so here he is talking about. This is kind of funny because, you know, he's, like I said, he's a chatterbox, so he can go on and on. And he does a good self-effacing thing here, which is, he does it so casually. He's really. He's over time, I've actually come to admire Tucker, even though he's, like you said, I think he's like full of crap about a lot of stuff. And he, you know, and like you said, I'm aghast. Gambling. And so here he is with Putin and with a little bit on here. And he goes on about this a lot more, and I'll explain what he said.
On certain topics,
you know what it would mean to ask a tough question.
Clarifying questions, I suppose they would.
I guess. I just wanted him to talk. You know, I just wanted to hear his perspective. Again, I've probably asked more asshole questions than like any living American. You know, I'm, as has been noted correctly, I'm a dick by my nature. And so I just feel at this stage of my life, I didn't need to prove that I could, like, Vladimir Putin, answer the question.
Sure. For sure.
You know, I think if I had been, you know, 34 instead of 54, I definitely would have done that, because I would have thought this is really about me and I need to prove myself. Also, no, I just there's a war going on that is wrecking the U.S. economy in a way and at a scale people do not understand. The U.S. dollar is going away. That was, of course, inevitable ultimately, because everything dies, including currencies. But that death, that process of death, has been accelerated exponentially by the behavior of the Biden administration and the U.S. Congress, particularly the sanctions. And people don't understand what the ramifications of that are. The ramifications are poverty in the United States.
He goes into a long diatribe, which I should have clipped, about the sanctions and how it's driving Russia to China, and also it's bolstering the BRICS.
It is. I think that's a fair statement.
And the BRICS, which now have like about 25 other countries that want to join.
Yeah.
They don't have the combined GDP of the United States and Europe. But with China and its GDP and then all these little countries deciding to put their eggs in one basket and then create their own currency is a huge threat.
Yes. Well, Saudi Arabia is in. The Saudis are in. They're in the BRICS now.
All these people. And it's and he really thinks this is a major concern. Now, typically, we've always worm our way out of these situations. The United States does because we're smarter in terms of the finances and entrepreneurship, a lot of things. Our use of the way we use capitalism is a little more aggressive than other people.
Yeah, we've hoodwinked our people into just letting them.
We
print,
have hoodwinked the world over and over again, and we won't. We haven't stopped yet.
No, it's great. I mean, the hoodwink is great. Everyone's like, "Boy, oh, a dollar." But I think the mistake was kicking Russia off of SWIFT. And if they do what this nut job Kasparov says, if they steal the $300 billion, that will be a tipping point for the U.S. dollar system.
That would be a mistake.
Dollar. Yeah, it would be a big
mistake. But it hasn't happened yet. I'm on the side that it shouldn't happen and won't happen.
I agree. I agree with you. I think they're going to do it.
I don't think they're going to do it.
Okay.
If they do it, this is a grave error.
Yes. No, I agree with you that it's a grave error, but I just think they're that stupid. Or arrogant.
Arrogant is the right word.
Hubris.
There's a lot of arrogance, especially in this particular administration of relative dummies.
yes.
They're dumb. They're just a dumb administration.
They're dumb.
The press secretary, Jean-Pierre, is a perfect example. She just seems stupid.
She's a troll. She's a literal troll.
She looks like a troll, too.
And her job, I have trolls troll because they're just projecting their rejection, their own rejection in life, the rejections they've received. They're projecting that. And that is what she's doing. And she's good at it. She trolls the media and people every single. Do you really think she's stupid? She is trolling.
I've seen her on. I remember seeing her on MSNBC years before she became the press secretary, and she is genuinely stupid.
Okay. Well, not all trolls. They wouldn't live under bridges if they were smart. I mean, we'll be honest about it.
Yeah, there's other things to do with your life. So the last clip is a little bit about Navalny, and it's not, I don't think it kind of plays in our earlier clips, but it's not that as interesting as the lawyer clip and the Snowden clip.
It's just a minute. We can listen to it.
But do we know how he died? The short answer, no, we don't. Now, if I had to guess, I would say killing Navalny during the Munich Security Conference in the middle of a debate over $60 billion in Ukraine funding. Maybe the Russians are dumb. I didn't get that vibe at all. I don't see it. But maybe, maybe they killed him. I mean, they certainly put him in prison, which I'm against. Here's what I do know is that we don't know. And so when Chuck Schumer stands up and
wait a minute, he said, here's what I do know that we don't know. What is he saying?
Certainly put him in prison, which I'm against. Here's what I do know is that we don't know. When Chuck Schumer stands up and Joe Biden reads some card in front of him with lines about Navalny, it's like, I'm allowed to laugh at that because it's absurd. You don't know.
There's a lot of interesting ideas about if he was killed, who killed him.
Yeah.
Because it could be Putin. It could be somebody in Russia who is not Putin.
Yeah.
It could be Ukrainians because it would benefit the war.
Pfizer.
Dugin's daughter in Moscow. So, yeah, it's possible.
And it could be
Pfizer.
I mean, the United States could also be involved.
I don't think we kill people in other countries to affect election outcomes. Oh, wait. No, we do it a lot.
Pfizer killed him. We all know this.
They never mention Pfizer.
Of course not. Of course not. That's because they're controlled opportunists.
The blood clots are caused by any of the vaccines. The J&J had that issue, and AstraZeneca for sure.
While we're on the military-industrial complex, Defense Secretary Austin, if it's really Defense Secretary Austin.
Hey, I still haven't seen him standing. That's my key. Look, I'm waiting to see him standing because he's a big, tall guy. Although I think you could have had the leg operation where they stretch your
Sure. Cavs. Yeah, he's been in hospital long enough for them to stretch him out. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Here's NBC's report.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin in the hot seat today.
It was a failure of leadership.
House Republicans grilling Austin for not telling the White House he was diagnosed with prostate cancer, underwent surgery for it, and weeks later was hospitalized with serious complications.
I find it very concerning that the secretary could be hospitalized for 3 days without anyone else in the administration even noticing.
Either the president is that aloof or you are irrelevant. Which one is it, Mr. Secretary?
It's neither.
Democrats were more forgiving.
You want to know what accountability is? Accountability is having to come and sit in front of people and their outrage and their drama.
The secretary emphasizing that someone was always in control.
There was never a lapse in authorities or command and control.
But acknowledging a breakdown in the notification process.
We did not handle this right, and I did not handle it right.
Although Austin took responsibility, he also said he assumed his staff would manage it.
I never directed anyone to keep my hospitalization from the White House.
On Monday, the Pentagon releasing a summary of a classified review that blamed the lack of notification in part on a lack of written guidance, but also on staff not wanting to pry into Austin's health. The review recommending new procedures.
If any American worker did what you did, they would be fired.
Yo.
And the question still remains. Why did it take the Pentagon 3 days to tell President Biden his defense secretary was in intensive care?
It's unbelievable that they do news about this. Who cares? It's a show. The whole thing is a show, and it's a bad show.
No, I disagree 100% with this.
100%?
I said 100%.
100%? You think it's a good show?
I disagree with you 95.5%.
Do you think it's a good show?
I think they know he's dead, and they're just trying to humiliate the administration by bringing this out and asking him stupid questions that they know the answer to.
Well, let's see what ABC did with this show.
It was the first time the defense secretary appeared before Congress after failing to alert the White House about his prostate cancer surgery and his emergency hospitalization days later.
I did not handle it right. As you know, I've apologized, including directly to the president. And I take full responsibility.
Austin insisting there was no lapse in the chain of command, given that his deputy took control, but Republican lawmakers showed Austin no mercy.
Someone needs to be held accountable.
Yeah, well.
Congressman Jim Banks calling it an embarrassment.
Either the president is that aloof.
Oh, there's the clip.
Or you are irrelevant. Which one is it, Mr.
Neither.
Secretary?
That you
would go three, that the president would go 3 days without knowing that his Secretary of Defense is not on the job.
It's neither. The president is not aloof.
Austin said he never told that.
What? What's this aloof business?
Well, let's look up. Let's go.
Aloof.
I know what aloof means, and the way they're using it is wrong.
Yeah.
Aloof, not friendly or forthcoming, cool and distant. What has that got to do with him knowing whether or not the defense secretary is there?
I think he said a goof. Is he a goof?
The president's a goof.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that would be it.
Is not on the job.
It's neither. The president is not aloof.
Austin said he never told staff his absence was because of a scheduled surgery or that he was later rushed back by ambulance because of complications.
When did your staff find out you were at the hospital?
I don't know when did you hear that?
Yes.
The very beginning of that, he had his original voice.
Voice. Here we go. Man, you're worse than I am with the moon landing on this thing.
No.
Here we go.
Because of complications.
When did your staff find out you were at the hospital?
Yeah. that was the actor.
I don't know when
you don't know when you told your staff that you were at the hospital. Are you kidding me?
But Democrats defended Austin, arguing Congress's focus needs to be passing a stalled military aid package for Ukraine.
I would challenge any member on the other side of this aisle to claim that the Secretary of Defense not fully informing the president for 3 days is somehow more important than walking away from that obligation that we have made and that the whole world is watching us on.
The whole world
is watching us.
No, that's the military industrial complex watching you.
It's the CEOs of Boeing and Lockheed.
Yes, they're
watching you.
And meanwhile, speaking of the president being aloof or a goof, Dr. Jen, she's America's favorite doctor. She's typically on ABC in the morning. She went, she stayed at the studio a little longer, and she went to The View. And I think we know The View is very scripted. The View, it's admitted that everything they say is scripted. There's very little room for ad-libbing. And Dr. Jen came on with a message, which was, I think, a message for the American people.
I think, in my medical opinion, first of all, how does he compare to a 54-year-old woman? I couldn't do that job.
This is regarding his clean bill of health at Walter Reed.
Yeah, about Biden's energy level, because, you know, he's sharp as attack. I
think, in my medical opinion, first of all, how does he compare to a 54-year-old woman? I couldn't do that job. Of being president. There were some glaring omissions in that physical report. It was about 7 pages. We all got a copy of it from the president's physician. We do what's called a review of systems anytime we do a physical exam on someone. That includes not only just general neurologic evaluation, but a mental evaluation, a screening for depression or psychiatric illness, mental illness, anxiety, not in there. Cognitive exam, not in there. Genitourinary exam, prostate exam, not in there. We can all
They check on him? What?
Yeah. Well, it was it was comprehensive in his doctor's opinion, but what was released to the public, if you're a healthcare professional, you know what things have not been in there, you know, so again,
so maybe they were done, but not released.
I would like to think that they were probably done, but not released. Yeah.
The question is, can he do the job? And it looks like he can.
I am not his physician, but, you know, again, he does have a qualified physician, and it was a thorough report, but some things missing.
Come on. This is signaling that the guy's half dead. Doctor, America's favorite doctor, saying, you know, well, you know, I didn't see a review of systems. That's a message. The View is a messaging system.
That's a good catch on that clip.
It's concerning. Very concerning.
Well, everybody knows what's going on. It's not like a big shock to anybody that Biden's got one foot in the grave.
I love that. Did I forget to clip that? I love where he was. He had phony Maloney sitting at the fireplace, Maloney of Italy, and he's talking about dropping aid to Gaza. And then all of a sudden he starts yapping about Ukraine. And she's the funniest. She's like looking at her paper like, what's he talking about? And then she's looking at him like, what's wrong with you, man? You're talking about Ukraine all of a sudden? That was crazy.
Yeah. Here, play This Is My Last Ukraine clip. This is Trudeau.
This clip has been sent to us several times, and for some reason, neither of us clipped it until now.
We know that Russia must win this war. That Ukraine must win this war against Russia.
Oh, poor guy. Can't catch a break.
He doesn't deserve a break, that guy.
Can't catch a break, man. Let's see. Where do you want to go next? I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening that people are supposed to be very upset about.
Oh. Well, I have a series of clips.
Oh, okay.
Which show you that the phony baloney. This is a 4 clips, and they're not long. But this is shows you the phony baloney nature of PBS NewsHour's debate between Brooks and Capehart.
Oh, goodness.
Who, you know, kind of fight.
This has
to be in agreement with each other.
The only ratings this show has is our show.
Yeah. Okay. I believe that to be true.
Yes. Okay. So this is the so-called public broadcast systems in America with a so-called point-counterpoint, right-left, red-blue discussion.
So let's start with Capehart on immigration, Flub 1.
President, the sitting president of the United States, in conjunction with the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, along with one of the most conservative members of the Senate, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm spacing on his Langford. Senator Langford from Oklahoma, that they sat down and hammered out a deal after the president went before the nation and said, everything is on the table. I'm willing to negotiate. They negotiated. They came up with a bill that bits and pieces of it were leaking out that was so bad from the president's base perspective that they were raising hell about if this becomes law, this is going to set immigration policy back for a long time. But the president thought we need to do something. They come up with the bill. And what happened? Donald Trump made a phone call. Or put out some social media post and say, don't do it.
I love this meme that even, I mean, everyone is repeating it. Donald Trump stopped this bill. Well, how? Does they Donald Trump control everything? Then why?
He made a phone call. He made a post. But here's what you really heard in this clip.
By the way, he made a perfect phone call.
So here's what you heard in this clip. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get the joke.
Yeah, okay.
Here's what you heard in this clip. He couldn't remember Lankford's name, and it shook him.
Because he's an operative, and he should have known better?
He's an operative, and he should know better, and he thinks of himself as slick.
Oh, okay.
And so now it's eating at him, and you're going to hear some good stuff coming up.
He's going to fall apart here, right?
So here we're going with clip two.
Republicans refused to take yes for an answer and gave President Biden the perfect thing to go before the nation and say, I'm trying. I was part of this deal. I gave them basically everything they wanted and they still said no. Those people are not serious. And I think if he hammers that message time and time again, I think it will break through.
Oh. No, they didn't give anything that the Republicans wanted. That bill's a piece of crap, and it didn't address pretty much anything.
Isn't that the one that Chuck Schumer voted no on?
Yes, the one Chuck Schumer wrote and voted no on.
But if Chuck Schumer had voted yes, it would have passed?
No. Oh. It doesn't make any difference. Oh. Well, actually, yes, it would have passed. It would have passed because it was 49-50 the vote.
And it's my understanding that Schumer... that in order to bring a bill up again, he had to vote no. Someone.
That's the thesis. I've heard it a million times. But when is it going to be brought up? When does that ever happen that they bring a failed bill up again? Well, that is a nonsense thesis. Well, and why did Elizabeth Warren vote no? Because she could have voted yes.
Well, she's all a his stooge. Stooges voted she's no. She's a stooge. He's a stooge. Who hurt Americans with these bogus over-the-counter hearing aids? It's bad for your health. I hate her for that. I really. Oh, wow. I don't hate. I mean, I, of course, I pray for her.
Man,
but man,
that's a callback.
She's bad.
I get it.
Yeah, she's bad. Yes.
All right, we move on to clip three.
Do the thing which I think the British have done, which is to say, we're going to stop the asylum process until we can digest all the people who have already in the system. And that will at least try to impose some order, because if there's just chaos, it's going to be just bad news for Biden.
But the only problem is, that would be a great thing to do, David, but there's no money. One of the things about that Senate bill was that it was giving funding to allow the Customs and Border Patrol to do the things you were just saying. So the chaos will continue, not because the president isn't doing enough, but because the Senate can't pass a bill that would make it possible for the president to do what he wants to do, but also for Republicans to get done what they say needs to be done for years now.
Huh?
Okay, so he's losing it. And it has to be straightened out by the moderator. Now, Brooks mentioned, which was, he says, stop it, and let's just process the people we've got before we keep letting, tens of thousands more people in. This guy had no answer for that. And now here it comes. Here comes what's really going on this PBS with this guy in particular.
Well, let me ask you this, because the president is weighing some executive action, absent congressional action, that would allow him to tighten asylum rules. So if there is a problem, and both sides say that there is a problem at the southern border, and he has the authority to tighten the asylum rules, why not do it? What's he waiting for?
I wonder, does he really have the power?
What?
I wonder if the White House, and you should have asked me that question beforehand so I could have made some calls to the White House to see what they're doing.
Wow, I need to call the White House, get my talking points. Wow.
Can you believe what he just said?
Yes, I think this discredits any more clips from them ever again on the show.
I'll tell you this. After that, he realized what he said. I don't have any more clips because it would have gotten tedious. But he realized what he just did. He said that I need to talk to the White House. I'm not much of an analyst, really. I have to let the White House tell me what to say.
Wish you had told me that earlier. I should have known. Whoa, no. Oh, man.
He was upset after that. Yeah. He was fumbling and mumbling. He knew what he did. He couldn't take it back.
No.
It was a humiliation. And that whole segment, you're basically right. This segment is a humiliation. It is not news analysis. It's what does the White House tell me to say? Let me say it. What good is that? We can just listen to the White House for that.
Well, here's what the White House said on February 29th. There's a screenshot in the show notes just to make sure in case they decide to change it. February 29th, fact sheet, impact of bipartisan border agreement funding on border operations. So this is about the bill, and it says here, listen to this. The bill also includes $1.4 billion for cities and states who are providing critical services to newcomers and would expedite work permits for people who are in the country and qualified. There it is, newcomers. We didn't know if it would be called visitors but they're just taking newcomers as illegal immigrants.
newcomers.
There it is. And we were joking about it just 2 weeks ago. Now
we're joking about how I have the sheet here. This is when the CPR News of Denver talked about how they're going to, we're making a language style change that we hope will humanize people arriving in Colorado from the border. What border in Colorado? They're being shipped in.
Yes.
For the past year and a half, Denverite and Colorado Public Radio have been following the stories of people arriving from the border. Many of them travel through multiple countries, risking their lives and well-being to get into the United States. We've aired stories of news items on the radio. The word migrant has been featured prominently as a blanket term. And it goes on and it says, "You stop using migrant."
Oh, what do we have to use now? Newcomer?
New immigrants.
No, I just call them nimmigrants.
So they wanted to call them new immigrants, not migrants, because migrants sounds like...
Or illegals.
Illegal,
aliens.
But illegal aliens. That was like from a month ago. You have the new one, newcomers.
Newcomers.
Let's move to newcomers and put that in the style guide and use that.
Yeah. Newcomers. It's one word. Newcomers, one word. So there was an interesting media moment. Oh, surprise. As both President Biden and former President Trump went to the border on the same day, two different spots on the border, of course. And here's Ed O'Keefe from CBS to report.
The president and the former president who wants to replace him in the White House played the blame game today along the U.S.-Mexico border.
Blame game.
This is a Biden invasion over the past 3 years.
President Biden said it was Donald Trump who urged House Republicans to kill the bill that would have beefed up security at the border.
It's time for the speakers and some of my Republican friends in Congress who are blocking this bill to show a little spine.
After a record number of illegal crossings last year, President Biden, who toured the border in Brownsville, Texas, is trying to show he's addressing an issue that more than 60% of voters call a very serious concern.
Just hours before the president's arrival here in Brownsville, U.S. Border Patrol and Texas State Police say they stopped people on the other side of the border from bringing across drugs.
But Chris Cabrera of the Border Patrol said that with illegal crossings into this part of Texas down recently, the president has come too late.
But I think the timing's a little off. I mean, if he would have come a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Trump, who visited Eagle Pass more than 300 miles away, continued exploiting a crisis that he couldn't solve either, hoping it'll put him back in the White House. Allies say he's planning mass deportations and detention camps, if elected. Today, he sought to falsely connect President Biden to the recent murder of a Georgia nursing student by a Venezuelan migrant who entered the country illegally in 2022.
The monster that charged in the death is an illegal alien migrant who was led into our country and released into our communities by crooked Joe Biden.
The president, who didn't address Trump's attacks, said they should work together.
Join me, or I'll join you, in telling the Congress to pass this bipartisan border security bill.
This is a very interesting strategy, and I'm surprised by it that you know, whoever is running Joe said, okay, here's what you do. Call out to Trump and say, join me. Since you control the Republicans, Senate and Congress, join me. The Curry Dvorak Consulting Group, I do not think would have advised this. What do you think? Seems like poor advice.
It's not good. It puts him in a weak position. I agree. I definitely would not be advised. And somebody obviously told him to. It is not something he dreamed up.
No, obvious. We know the guy doesn't. He's barely functioning. This is, you know.
And you can tell. But the Capehart character goes on about how Trump called one guy or posted something. They don't know what he did, but he's the one responsible somehow. It gives him too much power. This, you're not in California, but there's a series of a very interesting series of ads for the U.S. We have a new U.S. senator we need to vote in. It's either going to be Adam Schiff or Steve Garvey, the baseball player.
Oh, that is the baseball player, isn't it? I was like, what? This is a sports ball guy.
Yeah, sport. I think he was first base for the Dodgers. Anyway, he was a very machine-like player. Nobody liked him up here.
Because he didn't play good sports ball?
No, because he was a Dodger.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So Schiff has been doing these ads where he's promoting Steve Garvey.
What?
Saying he's a dick. Oh, and Steve Garvey's no good for California. He's terrible. We've got to stop Steve Garvey. And Steve Garvey, who doesn't have half the budget of Schiff, who should win this thing quite easily.
He's loving it. He's like, give me more attention.
See, he's getting a lot of attention. People are going, why should we stop him? What has he done? It's bringing the guy to the fore. His numbers keep going up with very little advertising because this idiot Schiff, Adam Schiff, keeps promoting Steve Garvey in his advertising. It's some of the dumbest. It's the stupidest thing you can do. This is like why Trump doesn't want to keep talking about Nikki Haley.
No, of
give him
not.
Any more ammunition.
All right, let's talk about people who matter, like Joy Reid. Because Joy Reid, you know, she's moved to prime time. You know, this is her time.
They moved her?
Oh, yeah. Oh, she's everywhere. She's very important now to MSNBC. And I think, again, I'm going back to Moe's theory. Fani Willis is taking the fall for not being able to stop, you know, Trump legally in Georgia. And boy, is she taking the fall. I mean,
they're beating her up.
Oh, you got to feel bad for her. And Trump, of course,
is
just pounding it home.
There's a woman. Wait, this is Fani Willis who came out and ran on the proposition that there will be no dating.
Sex.
There will be no. She went on and on about it.
No sex.
You can't
in the champagne
have people.
Yeah.
Fraternizing at the office. No, that's out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but
so you can't feel sorry for this. It's ironic. The other one, Letitia James, is getting it, and then now we have a third black woman.
Well, this is. I'm going to repeat Moe's theory.
Yeah, he has a theory.
He said that, you know, all of this DEI. All of you know, putting black women front and center. And by the way, Kareem Jean-Paul Pierre Abdul-Jabbar is also going to go. They will all take the fall when Trump, and we're just going to presume that when he is elected, they are all going to be blamed for it. And according to Mo, he says, look, this is it. Now it's time for you ladies to shine. Time for you to go and show. You better do it now.
and it's not happening. And the readout, Joy Reid will probably be in that pile as well. Now, she had on, just sticking with immigration for a second, Maria Teresa Kumar. And she, she's big in the, I think it's Latinx, political rights activist. Yeah. Are you familiar with her?
Maria Teresa Kumar. Not offhand. Well, if I saw her picture, I might recognize
she's,
her.
She's pretty young. She's, born in 1974. She's from Colombia, actually. So let's see what she has to say here.
Well, and I think one of the things that we all also have to realize is that the, by the time that someone gets to the border, Joy, that is not our immigration policy.
Right.
We have to recognize that the reason that we got to this moment was that Trump himself dismantled a lot of the programs where people could go ahead and file for some sort of visa or work permit in their home countries. And in an effort to rebuild that, you had COVID that really upended Latin America specifically.
Sure.
You had close to 16 million middle-class Latin Americans that went directly into lower class. They went into poverty, and there was no response internationally from any of this.
Yeah.
So as the president goes in and talks about how tricky the situation is, how it's a Western hemispheric issue, I hope he also recognizes that there are essential workers that are demanding relief, that have been here for 10, 20, 30 years, that have been paying their taxes, who have American children who are ready to vote for him if he actually recognizes their contributions.
But what he is saying, what Trump is saying he's going to do is just deport them all. Exactly. He says he's going to deport 10 million people. He wants
How is he going to know who's...
This is fear-mongering. This is her job now is to, hey, you've been here for 10, 20 years, be very worried. This is the same thing they're doing in Germany with the AfD, the Alternative für Deutschland. Same thing. Oh, you've been here, he's going to deport you.
Who is?
I think anybody Latino is suddenly going to be targeted with an deportation
accent.
Or anybody.
Anyone with an accent.
With an accent.
Right?
And anybody, right, black or brown. I mean, he wants to formulate
black
this program that's based
hey,
on.
Amen. With an accent, I go. I have to go now.
Cheech and Chong, better hide.
Called Operation Wetback Park. Sorry for the horrible words, but that's what they called
that
it.
That was Eisenhower. Yeah, yeah.
And that's what he wants
it.
To
do. What?
She said wetback.
Yeah, well, listen, yes, she says, she apologizes.
It's suddenly going to be targeted with an deportation or anybody with an accent.
Right?
And anybody, right, black or brown. I mean, he wants to formulate this program that's based on what he's called Operation Wetback. Sorry for the horrible word.
Wait a minute. Operation Wetback, wasn't that in the Che Guevara days?
Oh, let's look it up.
Yes, I'm pretty sure. Operation Wetback. I'm going to finish this clip 18 seconds while you look it up.
He wants to formulate this program that's based on what they called Operation Wetback. Sorry for the horrible words, but that's what they called it. That's what he wants.
I have to stop it.
Okay.
Operation Wetback, 1954.
Che Guevara.
It's a U.S. policy by U.S. Attorney General Herbert Brownell. The short-lived operation used military-style tactics, I can't read today, to remove Mexican immigrants, some of them American citizens, from the United States. Operation Wetback is in the Wikipedia.
Some American citizens?
Yeah, well, that's what it...
No,
this I think by accident.
Wikipedia. Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry for the horrible words, but that's what they called it.
Eisenhower.
And that's what he wants to do. It's a mass cruelty program, but what he's keying in on is that people are angry and they just want to see something cruel. The same people who didn't mind that children were being taken off of the breasts of their mothers or their breastfeeding and essentially
stolen
from their parents. They didn't mind that. They want that back.
These people, they just want to see something cruel. Yes. It's like the Roman days and the Colosseum. We just want to see something cruel and something bloody. There's a part two to this.
We don't level with each other because one of the reasons why we are enjoying such an economic bump
Immigration.
It's immigration.
Oh, it's immigration. Stop. We are enjoying an economic bump right now because of immigration. So yes, this is what they're saying. The economy is great. It's point one. The economy is great. And because all these people who are sleeping in airports and in repurposed hotels and
schools
now being forced to stay in people's homes, like in Massachusetts. This is providing an economic bump. Oh, it's immigration.
We don't level with each other because one of the reasons why we are enjoying such an economic bump.
Immigration.
It's immigration. It's literally the folks that have crossed the border and said, you know what? And this is what we forget really unifies us. The folks that come to the United States as immigrants, they come with this idea that they can be the best version of themselves in this country. It is, we are our ancestors of entrepreneurs, and we forget that that is the lifeblood that, again, who is afraid of that? It's the Russians and the Chinese.
Yeah.
And we have to be very, very clear that what is happening right now on social media when they're trying to separate us, yes, it's the far right, but the algorithms fed into us are also foreign actors, recognizing that our Achilles heel is the racism, but that our unity and our multicultural strength is what allows us to compete globally.
And that is the thing that's so maddening, is that Russia doesn't have to like invent conspiracy theories to hurt the U.S. They just have to take the people's already existing anxieties
and throw gas on it.
And it's working. And it's working because people here are letting it work.
Putin!
There he is.
Wow.
Putin does it again. So
what a couple of lunatics.
Joy Reid is going to go down too. They're They're all going down. So obvious. Ugh. You know, there's something we forgot to talk about, which I think we should probably mention. Here we go.
Spot the spook. Everybody wants to spot the spook.
Yeah. Catherine Herridge, who was fired from CBS with the latest rounds of CBS firings, Paramount in big peril.
By another one of those black high-profile black women we might
add. Oh, was that who did it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So our initial reaction was she's being reassigned. And I wonder, I felt that a good cover already was, they got her papers. They got her papers. So that's crazy that the feds got her papers. And that to me really gives her a lot of credibility for wherever she lands next. But now I'm starting to doubt our theory as she's being held in civil contempt for refusing to divulge her source.
Yeah.
Now,
based on some lawsuit that's going on where the person that's being sued is demanding that they find out something or other. It's a Chinese woman. It's a very complicated case, but I disagree. I think the further you go down the road with this, the more credibility.
Yeah. So now not only is she credible because of the feds who got her papers, but she's credible because, don't worry, she'll never reveal you as a source.
What you want.
Yeah.
That's the reputation you need.
But how is she going to get out of this, though, without...
I don't know. This is a good question, but she'll get out of it somehow. It can't continue.
You know, I still think she's going to land a government job. That's where you want her now. Kirby is failing. Let's be honest. Kirby can't. He's got no credibility anymore. She would be great. She could actually replace...
She'd be better than Kirby. Kirby began, I think, in the Defense Department.
He's a rear admiral. We all know what he is.
And he was kind of working his way up the ladder, and then he's gotten to the point where he can't lie very well.
No.
He's no good at it.
No.
And so he fumbles and mumbles, and he's up there, and he says dumb stuff, and he doesn't look comfortable, and it doesn't look like he's enjoying the job. Jean-Pierre looks like she's enjoying the job.
But I think she needs to go down and she'll be out. And that would be a great spot for Pixie Girl, for Catherine Herridge. I think she would be a perfect next spokeshole for the president.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think she's got the look.
The next president's going to be Trump unless they really do a great number on the... I have a clip from 2004.
Okay. Going back in time with the sound of the nation.
This is, if you remember the George Bush Kerry election in 2004, there was a voting machine scandal. It was based on the Diebold machines.
Diebold. Here's what I remember. I remember, when you say that, the first impression I have, I remember watching Kerry's camp live on television. And all of a sudden you just see Kerry's face go, what? And his numbers just tanked. At that very moment, there was like this huge surge for Bush. That's what I remember. Huge.
Remember right.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing was that Bush was unpopular at the time because he had implemented all kinds of things like the Patriot Act, and the wars that he was promoting were not going well. And it was just a waste of money. It was terrible.
He has a big head.
And he was dumb. He was, I mean, he was smart when he was in Texas because you could see in the old clips that he was sharp. And then he was became kind of dopey, making you wonder what they're drugging these guys with. And so we have now we have Jerry Nadler, who I believe is on the Charlie Rose show in 2004, talking about voting machines.
If, in fact, someone were deliberately hacking these machines, you could steal millions of votes and no one would know it. And that's why the methodology is problematic. Mm-hmm. Now, there's no evidence that happened, but you can't prove it didn't either. And you can't prove it won't next time. And that's why we have to have a paper trail. We've documented, any number of people have documented a machine in this county that recorded 11,000 extra votes for Bush. In that county, there was counting Kerry votes for Bush. People who pushed touched Kerry's name would come up Bush, and they touched it again, and would come up Bush. They touched it a third time, and finally got it right. And all kinds of things like this. One machine. When we say one machine, these are large machines, like a half a county apparently. After it reached 3,000 votes total, every time you voted for Bush, it subtracted one instead of added one. When you pushed Kerry, it subtracted one instead of adding one. And all these instances were instances where they were caught. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been reported. They were caught, presumably corrected. The question, obviously, is how many instances were not caught that we don't know about? And what, if any, impact did that have on the election, if not for president, then for county commissioner or congressman or whatever? And it's clear that we have some of these new technologies, the electronic voting, replacing the chads and all that, which had other problems. But there are no paper trails. And we have all sorts of testimony before the election from electronics experts that, number one, we've seen a lot of what I'll call honest glitches, where it just didn't work
right. Glitches? Wait, did he say honest glitches?
Yeah.
Hold on. Testimony before the election from electronics experts that, number one, we've seen a lot of what I'll call honest glitches, where it just didn't work right. But also that these machines are hackable, that a dishonest employee of the vendor or a dishonest employee of a local board of elections or simply someone who knows electronics and has a computer at home could hack into these machines and put in a secret instruction to disregard every 20th Democratic vote or add 10% to the Kerry or to the Bush vote or whatever, and you might not ever know it.
I would like to point out that Gillespie County is a hand count county in Texas. We have banned electronic voting machines.
Yeah. It should be everywhere.
Yeah. No kidding.
And this, by the way, I'm going to re-mention that this is from 2004. There's no reason. This hasn't changed. The companies that make these machines
have changed. Why didn't Diebold sue Nadler for this outrageous accusation?
Because Nadler's doesn't have the deep pockets of Fox.
Oh, okay.
So here we go.
And we had these warnings before the election, and apparently they're correct. And we have all these questions now, and we're seeing instances of, so far as we know, honest glitches that we caught.
Hey, dude, honest glitches? That's a bumper sticker.
But the question arises, how many didn't we catch, and how do you prevent that? Now, there's legislation pending, which I'm co-sponsoring, offered in the House by Rush Holt and the Senate by Hillary Clinton and others, that says that every electronic machine should have a paper trail, like an ATM machine gives you a receipt. You should, when you push the Kerry, let's say you vote for Kerry and A for Congress and B for the Senate, it should say Kerry A and B. You see that on the machine. It should also print a piece of paper, which you see, you look at the piece of paper, you say, okay, you then press submit, it cuts off the piece of paper, drops it into a box. So if anybody raises questions after the election, you can, in fact, count the paper. There was one county where on some local race or some referendum, they lost 4,500 votes. Machine hiccup, they lost it. 4,500 people didn't have their votes counted. And we don't know if that made a difference in that referendum or local race or whatever. But the system is inherently subject to that kind of thing. So we asked for an investigation. Congressman Conyers, who's the ranking Democrat on the Judiciary Committee, and Bob Wexler, Congressman from California, and I asked the Government Accountability Office, which used to be known as the Government Accounting Office, which is the nonpartisan investigative arm of Congress, to investigate. And we asked that they investigate the efficacy of voting machines and new technologies, how election officials responded to difficulties encountered, and what we can do in the future to improve our election systems. These companies did a tremendous sales job after the 2000 election in Florida, where we had all those problems with the chads, and everybody said, get rid of these. these punch card machines.
Find a better way to do it.
Find a better way to do it. They had these products. These products weren't really quite ready, I don't think. I mean, we have all these professors and these computer experts telling us that the encryption algorithms aren't sufficient, that the protections aren't sufficient. They're proprietary data, so they're kept secret, so we don't really know. But they wanted to sell their machines, and they did a tremendous sales job.
Oh, brother. Okay. Well, now that I'm almost just... got indigestion from listening to Nadler for 3.5 minutes. The 2000 election came up. I'm going to hit you right back with another view clip in a conversation about the Supreme Court decision schedule to discuss a decision whether any president, not just President Trump, but retroactively any president can be held accountable for crimes committed during a president's administration. This is what is coming before the Supreme Court.
Right, and the immunity.
Yes, the
situation.
The immunity. Now, and I would just say up front, I think that what's being ignored here is there is a process. If a president commits a crime or is, you know, questioned about, has questionable behavior, the process is impeachment. And after the impeachment in the House, it goes to the Senate and they can convict him. Right?
Yes. And then he can go to normal civil court trials.
Right. But so there is a process if you have a bogus president.
Yeah,
there's a process, but that is just ignored by the women of The View. And they, and so what you have, I'm going to use the word posited, is very interesting. Oh. That if they say Trump is accountable and does not have immunity for his mounting a insurrection as when he was still president, then we can arrest Obama for droning American citizens. You can do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
The ladies from The View, yes, you're going to say something?
Well, I was going to say, curiously, I have to pull this
out of the
files, but yeah. I have. It turns out that Obama, I didn't realize this, but he not only killed Aulaki and Aulaki's
and his son.
Kid,
yeah, and his kid,
his 16-year-old
they were
kid.
Having coffee. They were having coffee.
Yeah, supposedly. He said he also, in the process, killed Samir Khan, who is an American, U.S. citizen of Pakistani heritage. And he also killed Jude Mohammed, another American, born in Florida, American citizen. So Obama murdered four people. And in fact, it said, I'm going to read from CBS. It said after he killed in October 14, 2011 in Yemen, he killed the kid, Abdul, in an extrajudicial killing. Some U.S. officials called it a mistake. Even the president is said in some reports to have considered it a bad mistake. But the former White House press secretary, Robert Gibbs, if you remember him, stated that his death was justified.
And this was all death by drone, right?
Death by drone. Yeah, they just murdered these people. And And they basically murdered these people. So the people on The View have to say on the show that Obama, which could be arrested tomorrow and thrown in jail for murder.
No, they take an entirely different, unique, and very interesting approach.
Well, the Supreme Court won't hear oral arguments until the end of April. Now, I just, you know, let's look at a scenario where the Supreme Court says, yes, he has that. He has all those rights. He is immune from everything.
Yeah.
You know what Joe Biden could do since he is presently president?
What?
Whoa. He could throw every Republican in jail.
Yeah.
I mean, he could. I mean, this is not a good thing. This means is this, he can do anything.
Yeah.
He could dismiss everybody's debt.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole bunch of great stuff that could happen. But
great.
Let's really look at what this means.
Yeah.
So they're basically kicking the can down the road, though. They
they're not taking up this case immediately.
Shut up, right. Joy.
So what's right. their motivation then? If we all know that they can't do what you just said because right. of the extreme power that a president would have, right. what is their motivation for not doing it right away?
Well, unfortunately, some people are saying the motivation is that there are certain conservative justices that have been appointed by Trump that want to help him. And because we know the end result is if this case is not resolved by the time of the election and he, God forbid, becomes the president of the United States,
poo-poo.
The Justice Department policy is that you cannot indict nor put on trial a sitting president, right? And so it's right, his get right. out of
he
jail.
Throw him free, in jail.
But it's his get out of jail free card.
No, I'm saying Biden could throw him. This is a slippery slope. If they give him this immunity,
what's good for the
what
goose,
I also will
good
say is they're listening to these arguments in April. The end of their term is in June, right? Mm-hmm. They return again, I believe, in October. The Bush v. Gore case happened real quick. Do you remember that?
The Supreme Court
knows how to work real fast.
That was the day democracy died.
Oh.
What?
Well,
if that was the day democracy died, why are you even doing a show?
So I just like the flipping it on its head and saying, well, you know, if Trump has immunity, then Joe Biden can just get rid of everybody's debt, can throw all Republicans in jail. This program is not good for your health. It's hard for me to even, I can feel the effects just playing the clips. This is really dumbing down the American population. And they're popular. A lot of people watch it.
What is the deal? What is the deal?
The deal
with Whoopi's new hairdo.
No, that's,
she's got her sides are cut off and she's got her hair way back.
Yeah.
What is this? She's wearing, he's got a mullet.
Yeah.
What is this look?
It's cool.
Ask Mo. He's an expert on hairstyles.
We don't touch the third rail of black women's hair. That's a very bad rail to touch. Okay, so here's what everyone's talking about online. It's none of this. None of this. None of this is being discussed. Here's what's really grabbed everybody's attention, and I have an opinion on it. This guy named Ian Carroll, who's just a dude on X, he's the one that has the most compelling version of it, and his videos are receiving millions of views on the X. And this is about the Diddy lawsuit.
He just got the Jeffrey Epstein of the music and entertainment industry. The new lawsuit that just dropped against Diddy is massive, and it has photos, it has videos, it names names, and there's so much here that it's never going to fit into a single video. So I'm going to do a quick overview in this video, and then I'm going to do a couple of parts breaking down all the different aspects of what's come out so far. We're talking crime scenes. We're talking photo evidence of celebrities like Cuba Gooding Jr. We're talking record label executives. We're talking hidden cameras in every room of the house, getting recordings of celebrities, executives, politicians at parties with celebrities and underage girls, with drinks being spiked, with drugs. This goes all the way back to the murder of Tupac and Biggie. We're talking about the entire rap and hip hop industry and the whole music industry at large. So what's happened just now is that this man, Rodney Jones, who is a music producer that worked with Sean Combs, who is Diddy, he just filed this lawsuit. And he didn't just file it against Diddy. He filed against the executives at all of the companies associated and against the companies like Universal Music Group. His lawyers claim that he has secured hundreds of hours of footage and audio recordings of Diddy and his staff and his guests engaging in serious illegal activity.
So this is salacious. Everybody loves it. We got Cuba Gooding Jr. We've got supposedly Usher. All these people who are all involved in what the music industry has known forever. Because the root of this is Clive Davis. Clive Davis, who at a certain point came out and said, "Hey, everybody, I'm bisexual." Really, Clive? And all of this salaciousness comes through from that root of Clive Davis. And Diddy being gay, oh, please, this is nothing new. But we now have all of this evidence, and they've named all the executives of the record companies and the sub-labels and the sub-labels of the sub-labels and the publishing companies. So it's going to be it's going to capture everyone's imagination. What this guy is doing, I don't have any further clips. is he's connecting this to the Whitney Webb reporting on Epstein and J. Edgar Hoover, which is specious at best, as you and I have discussed.
Generally disproven.
Disproven that, you know, that there's pictures of him in a dress, pictures of him committing fellatio. It's all fake. There is no picture. And by the way, there's more evidence J. Edgar Hoover was black than that he was, you know, that he was homosexual.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But what this does is two things. One, it distracts from the actual Epstein case, because now everyone will be crazy about this. This is your controlled opportunists at work. And the second thing it does is it distracts from Taylor Swift being a Satanist.
I was wondering where you were going to go with this, because I knew about all this and just these clips.
I knew
and you're saying, oh God, he's going to bring in some showbiz stuff, because you know Adam, he so wishes he was in the business.
Oh yeah. Oh boy. It was so much fun. Don't drop the soap in the business. It distracts from the true evil, which is the women in show business, particularly in the music business, who are Wiccans, they are witches, they are doing all kinds of creepy stuff, they're devil worshippers, and sadly, they've captured Taylor Swift, as far as I can tell. And so this is probably them. They're like, hey. That's what's going on here. So Taylor is safe for a while everyone focuses on Diddy. And Diddy is going down, 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 down. So you can rest assured, everybody. You don't have to do much else. You can just calm down. It's all good.
Oh, that's good. I'm sure.
Calm down.
Our rock and roll pre-show person is going to be more than pleased.
And you're going to see Whitney Webb going insane and appearing everywhere, talking about how she invented all this. And it's all the Jewish mafia. That's the Whitney Webb. You wait. Speaking of controlled opportunists, there's number one, as far as I'm concerned. You can be very careful.
Doing her due diligence in Chile or wherever the hell.
Chile. We have to be very careful. Very careful of a lot of people out there. Anyone who does video with their podcast, they're just dangerous.
Yeah.
That's a giveaway. If you got a podcast and it's video, you're dangerous. It's just no good. Except Joe, of course. Something happened. Oh, let's see. Do you want to do some big pharma stuff?
I have some CDC stuff, but I also have a 3x3. About the Israeli situation that probably, because we're not going to talk about it, I don't think, except for this possibility, we can jump to that war.
We've done so much war.
Well, we can skip it now.
But
we can,
I don't want to skip it. It's probably important. But it's are the clips 2 minutes long? Are they also, just they get so long?
Take a look. Tell me what you think.
Let me see how long. Let me just look at the ABC. 137. It's just, well, let's do some big pharma stuff first. Let's do your CDC clips, because
CDC's come up with new guidelines.
New guidelines.
So the new CDC woman, Cindy or Candy or whatever the hell her name is.
Amy Cohen.
Amy Cohen. And she's just like a girl who couldn't make the cheerleading team, so she's on the pom-pom squad. That one.
Yeah, that one.
And so she's there trying to answer questions on PBS. She answers nothing. She's just a drone promoting the vaccine. They're never going to let up on this. Heaven forbid.
Cue clip. Is that what you're saying here?
Yeah. New CDC guidance, COVID, PBS.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has changed its COVID guidance for when people need to isolate. It's part of the CDC's broader recommendations on respiratory illnesses. The agency now says people who've tested positive can return to normal activities when symptoms are improving and they've been fever-free for at least 24 hours without medication. But the CDC also encourages people with improving symptoms to
take additional prevention measures like mask wearing and keeping distance in public. CDC Director Dr. Mandy Cohen joins me now.
Mandy.
Dr. Cohen, welcome.
I'm sorry, Mandy, not Amy, Mandy.
Back to the NewsHour. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
So this is the first time you've shifted guidance, isolation guidance, since 2021. That was when it was reduced from 10 days to 5 days. Why these changes in guidance right now? What's that based on?
Well, we are in a different place, and that's after a lot of hard work to make sure that we had the tools to protect each other against COVID.
Stop.
We got tools.
She asked a specific question. You changed it from 10 days to 5 days to now you got just a couple of days. What is this based on? And she never answers this question.
Well, no, she's on the pom-pom squad. She's not a librarian.
She's not a cheerleader.
Why these changes in guidance right now? What's that based on?
Well, we are in a different place, and that's after a lot of hard work.
I love that. We're in a different place. The science is in. The science is settled. Come on.
To make sure that we had the tools to protect each other against COVID. What we've been seeing is lower hospitalizations and lower deaths, even as we saw high levels of virus spread. So this past winter season, we saw both in our wastewater data and others that there's a lot of virus spreading in our community. But luckily, those trends in hospitalizations and death continued to go down. And what we were seeing is that really vaccination is what is continuing to protect folks. So we wanted to unify our guidance today, not just for COVID, but across COVID, flu, and RSV. So folks could have common sense, practical solutions that they could use every day, that they can remember, that they can implement across a range of viruses.
You're really going to tell me that we need four clips to point out that we've gone from 10 days to 5 days to just, if you don't have a fever, do whatever you want? Is that how long it took this Mandy? Mandy?
Well, the second Mandy clip is only 59 seconds. It's not going to kill you.
All right.
Now, there were some states, as you know, like California, Oregon, others that began relaxing their COVID isolation guidance as early as last year, counter to your guidance at the time.
Bad.
Is this sort of the CDC kind of chasing, catching up to where people have already been for
a
while?
Well, you know what? We were looking at this guidance last summer and seeing if we can move in this direction. And then the virus changed in last August. Uh-oh. And we wanted to make sure we were through another winter season, that those trends in lower hospitalizations and lower deaths continued to hold. And the good news is they did. And so we feel comfortable moving forward now. But remember, like always, this virus is changing. If anything changes in terms of our effectiveness of vaccines or treatment, we may be back here needing to change guidance, but we feel comfortable aligning across COVID, flu, and RSV for some simple solutions like vaccination, like making sure you get treatment and staying home when you're sick.
So this, we don't have to play the rest of it, but it goes on with this poor woman on PBS struggling to get something out of this, some actual facts.
It gets nothing out of it.
And she's just going to go on and on and on about get vaccinated. And that's about it, that the message is get vaccinated. And we're going to have a new, the virus keeps changing, so there's going to be a new vaccine. You can play the last clip will summarize everything where she says, there's new stuff coming out, get a new vaccine if you haven't gotten one already. And that's basically the message.
To be fair, the vaccine can obviously prevent serious illness, but it doesn't prevent spread of COVID. Will people isolating for a shorter amount of time potentially add to the spread of the virus?
Oh, man. Do they hear themselves? Please. If you're within the sound of my voice, a vaccine that doesn't prevent spread and doesn't prevent you getting it is not a vaccine. It's not a vaccine.
It's a crock of shit is what it is.
Well, the good news is when you get vaccinated, right, you are both less likely to go into the hospital, but you're also less likely to get long COVID, and you are less likely to get this virus overall, right? So less virus spreading means that we are protecting others. And now we want...
What? We're protecting others?
We wanted to give simple, clear... kinds of guidance so that folks can remember them, that can be really actionable. Because if more people are using the guidance, we think that's going to benefit everyone. And look, the folks who are vulnerable, they were top of mind for us at CDC as we were thinking about this guidance. We all know someone who's at higher risk, over 65 or immunocompromised. I have them in my own family. So we were thinking about them as we did this guidance. We think we found the balance to protecting the most vulnerable and having this clear and simple way for most folks to protect themselves.
You also said this week that Americans 65 and older should get an additional dose of that latest COVID vaccine this spring.
Kill them off.
That relaxing the guidance at the same time you're asking people to go and get another booster sends conflicting messages.
No, we just want to kill old people.
No, and in fact, our guidance today, the very first core strategy that we want to emphasize to folks is about being up to date on your vaccines. Vaccines is what we are up continuing to see protect folks here. So we want to make sure folks are getting those updated vaccines. And I want to preview for folks that we know this COVID virus continues to change, and we need to stay ahead of it. And we've already started the process, CDC and FDA, to update the COVID vaccine for later this year. So right now, folks should start planning for this fall to get both an updated COVID vaccine and an updated flu shot.
What does that mean, start planning? Do I have to put it in my calendar? Do I have to save for it? Do I have to alert the neighbors, wake the children?
Yeah.
Let's plan for it.
You got to start planning for fall.
Meanwhile, this is still on deck.
This morning, friends, family, and fans are remembering Craig Rowe, a former star linebacker for the University of Michigan, losing his battle with colon cancer.
Michigan has forever been defined by guys stepping up every year.
He was just 33. Rowe was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer last year. His death, part of a troubling trend. Colon cancer is now the deadliest cancer for men under age 50 and the second deadliest cancer for women under 50. Doctors say obesity and lifestyle can play a role.
What we're concerned about clearly are
lifestyle,
food or environmental exposures that may be there, but it's hard to know. What we do know is this, that for people under the age of 50 diagnosed with colon cancer, about a third of them have some remarkable family history that might have given us a clue as to that having occurred.
That's why doctors say it's so important to get screened, beginning at age 45. But Americans are not getting the message. 80% of people ages 45 to 50 are not getting screened, many of them dreading a colonoscopy.
There are options to do it in your own home.
Sales job. There it is. Sales job for the
Cologuard.
For poop in the bag.
Dreading a colonoscopy.
There are options to do it in your own home within just a few minutes and with just as much accuracy as a colonoscopy.
Those with a family history of...
Which is a lie.
No, it's not. It's a lie.
Because they say in the ad, in the real ad, instead of this paid promotion, they say, it could be false positive, it could be false negative. But, poop in the bag, people. Just poop in the bag. It's good. You could do it in whole privacy.
Deliver it to your front door.
Poop in the bag.
See, as a colonoscopy.
Those with a family history of cancer or who experience symptoms should talk to their doctor about getting screened earlier. Symptoms include a change in bowel habits, rectal bleeding, abdominal discomfort, fatigue, and unexplained weight loss. Doctors say colorectal cancer can develop silently, so early detection is key. And if caught early, the survival rate is more than 90%.
So this is just horrible. The medical community still does not understand where this troubling trend comes from. We can't figure it out. It could be lifestyle. It could be your diet. Oh, well, if it's your diet, then let's just go to the Ozempic, shall we?
By the beginning of 2023, one medicine was on everyone's lips.
Ozempic! Yeah!
Ozempic, a diabetes drug with an astonishing side effect.
Adults lost up to 14 pounds.
Since then, there's been a constant drumbeat in the news.
Ozempic.
Ozempic.
And Ozempic.
And frenzied buzz on social media.
Once you hit 2 clicks, you are good to go.
And it's not just Ozempic. There's Mounjaro for diabetes and Wegovy and Zepbound to treat obesity, all promoting significant weight loss. It's estimated up to 5 million Americans are taking them. A staggering figure, considering the weekly injections need refrigeration and possibly a lifetime commitment.
This is a special ran on NBC called The Big Shot. And there's some very troubling trends in the promotion of the GLP-1 products. What we'll get to in a moment is the incessant discrediting of compounded forms of this, because you know you have to have the brand name, otherwise what are you doing? And I think that even though, you know, this is part promotion and part discreditation, but for under no circumstances should social media influencers be allowed to hawk drugs online. I mean, that's there needs to be some kind of kibosh on this troubling trend.
It's on TikTok, it's on social media, it's on Facebook, it's on TV, etc. Everybody around you is taking it. And then the rise of telehealth. Yeah, it seems like all these things are feeding into this high
demand. I think it's unique. It's a lucrative market and it's growing very quickly. We've seen that with other categories of drugs. What's different now is you have telehealth, you know, you have a cash pay market, and you have the social media, which has created sort of a cultural phenomenon around these drugs, and it's harder for a regulatory process to keep up with that.
Our team wanted to see how easy it would be to get compounded semaglutide, so we put it to the test. We picked telehealth sites that didn't require any blood work. We used our real names and real body stats. By these metrics, none of us should have qualified for GLP-1 medications. On one site, all I had to do was input some basic info, like my height, weight, and set up a call with a doctor. No, I've never tried this before. After a 7-minute consult,
I'm qualified. Okay, 5 questions and that's it.
I was approved.
Great. Thank you.
Of the 8 sites we reached out to, 2 approved us to take compounded semaglutide. None of us saw a doctor in person. Compounded semaglutide is currently allowed by the FDA, but it's not approved, and that's an important difference. There are dozens of pharmacies across the country mixing their own versions, sometimes adding other ingredients like B12. And while some of the facilities are inspected by the FDA, the drugs they make are not.
So this is part, because of course what you want is a telehealth provider. You already heard that it's very easy, just 5 questions, lie, whatever, they'll prescribe it to you. But don't get the compounded. No. Make sure you have an approved telehealth provider who will give you the good stuff, you know, the real stuff, the stuff that has the brand name on it. And there's something up with Oprah and her leaving Weight Watchers after they acquired a telehealth provider. I have 2 clips. Let's see if we can figure it out.
Shares of the company that used to be known as Weight Watchers lost 18% of their value yesterday after a major announcement. Oprah Winfrey has decided to leave its board of directors, ending her long-term relationship with the company. Melanchiano has more on the potential impact on the famous brand.
Let's let 2016 be the year of our best bodies.
For nearly a decade, Oprah Winfrey has been the face of Weight Watchers, joining the board in 2015 when she acquired a 10% stake in the company. But Wednesday, the company announced the media mogul was stepping down. Despite leaving the board, Winfrey said in a statement, "I have been a longtime supporter of this worthy organization, and I am proud to continue my support." In December, Winfrey revealed to People magazine that she uses a weight loss drug as a maintenance tool, and she was, quote, done with the shaming. Dr. Melanie Jay sat on a panel with Winfrey in fall of 2023.
We talked about how it's not the easy way out. You still have to manage the medications long term. You still have to make changes to your lifestyle.
Although Winfrey hasn't said which medication she's taking, drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy have soared in popularity in recent years. In fact, Weight Watchers recently launched a program geared toward people who use such weight loss drugs.
You don't necessarily have to work as much on hunger cues because the medications help with those, but you do have to make sure you're getting enough protein and enough fruits and vegetables. And so I think people still need a lot of support to do that.
Winfrey herself said in a statement she looks forward to continuing to advise and collaborate with Weight Watchers. She also plans to donate her Weight Watchers stock to the National Museum of African American History and Culture. In part, Weight Watchers said, to eliminate any perceived conflict of interest around her taking weight loss medication.
Okay, before I get to Gail, who was her fanny pack wearing camping buddy, she donated her shares to the National Museum of African American History and Culture to avoid any conflict of interest. Well, I find that odd because she is on the museum council. So that seems like a conflict of interest right there. She just gave it to something that she's on the board of, the council, which is also, if you donate it, I'm sure that's a tax deduction.
Oh, a big one.
This council is interesting. Our buddy Ted Leonsis is on the council.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Who else is on here? We have the Mellon Foundation, Walgreens Boots Alliance. We've got Laura Bush. Oh, she's dead. Oh, well. We have...
Kids?
No, I'm just kidding. Different Bush is dead. We got the CEO of Merck, former chairman and CEO of Merck. We've got some bankers, some president of Rutgers University. This is a huge drinking club. Yeah, some army people in there, the Ford Foundation. So, yeah, there's nothing going on there. Let's see what Gail has to say about this.
Yeah, I've heard from reliable sources that Oprah has big plans coming
up. Reliable sources. You mean you're passing on what Oprah wants everybody to know?
Yeah, I've heard from reliable sources that Oprah has big plans coming up. And I think when she donated her stocks to the...
Which people don't do, by the way.
People don't... Not only
walk
that,
away
Nate,
with their stocks.
Not only that,
take
Nate,
their money and go.
It's like $12 million that she didn't have to do.
Right.
She didn't have to do because she could have.
She did if she had a tax liability and she wanted to reduce it. It's no big deal.
And still kept the money, but she wanted to eliminate any perception that she is now whatever her big announcement that's.
Here it is. You see, she's up to something. She wanted to eliminate any perception. So it's $12 million in tax benefit, whatever. Any perception for what she's about to announce. Something big is coming from Oprah.
But she wanted to eliminate any perception that she is now, whatever her big announcement that she's going to make, I'm thinking very soon.
Yeah.
She didn't want anybody to think that she's doing it because it's a money grab.
Right, yeah.
And even I was like, are you sure you got to give up the stock? Are you sure about that?
But you can see it my way, Oprah.
And it's not illegal,
here.
But I say this all the time. Oprah,
it's not illegal.
Does.
Focus on the stock, not on the big announcement yet, not on the money grab.
The right thing, even when no one is watching.
Yeah.
And I tell this story. We were traveling and, you know, you can't have more than X thousand dollars in cash. She had $10,000 in cash on her, as one does. And
as one does.
The customs people came on. I said, well, you
no
can
one
just.
Does.
Yes, she does. As one does. She had by the way, that's a longstanding rule. If you have more than $10,000, I think, is it 10,000 or more than 10,000? I believe it's 10,000 or more. Then you have to declare that. You have to say, "Yeah, I'm traveling. I got 10 G's, man. I'm with Diddy."
She had $10,000 in cash on her, as one does, and the
no one does.
Came, she does.
Came on. I said, "Well, you can just give me some, give Andre some, you know, her inner circle, and we'll give it back to you because I don't believe in paying for your own money."
Yeah.
I said, "No one will know." She said, "But I'll know."
Mm. So oh, she's honest. Oh, she's honest. This is Gail letting you know that whatever Oprah's got coming next, she's honest. It's not a money grab. It's not a conflict of interest. She's coming with something big. It's not a money grab. It's not. She's honest. She reports her money.
Yes, I have $10,000
right,
in cash.
Right, yeah.
I declared it.
Yeah, of course.
And I am a law-abiding citizen, I would like to say, but it just strikes me that even when no one is watching, she does the right thing.
Yeah.
And so once again, to me, this is evidence of that.
Yeah, and that donation is big, Nate. You're absolutely
right. For the Museum of Chorus.
No, this is evidence that something is coming that is completely off the charts when it comes to conflict of interest. And she's going to do something with some weight loss drug, and it's big. It's big. And just so you know, Oprah's honest. She is honest. Never doubt her honesty.
Well, you have nothing to predict. I do want to say something about the first clip you played, which was the little bitty mention of the fact that if you start up on Ozempic, you have to take it for the rest of your life.
You're supposed to be on it for your entire life. They prescribe it with that in mind.
For Faith Ann and her parents, they were worth a shot. Where do you give yourself a shot?
I give myself the shot in my stomach.
Yeah, I don't even like it a lot.
Can you hear the click? It's done.
Wow. Can you just tell me what you're on and how long you've been on?
I've been on Mounjaro since May.
Ozempic since July.
Whatever she gives me.
Yeah. He's been on, he's switches. He goes between Mounjaro and
you
Ozempic.
Can switch.
They're all in a class of drugs called GLP-1 receptor agonists.
You can switch. It's all good. What you never hear is, you've got to stop eating the crap that you're eating. Please stop eating crap. They never mention that. Maybe that'll be Oprah's next big thing. Here's a weight loss drug, but stop eating crap. By the way, we got...
I do have a prediction.
Oh, okay.
About she's Oprah? Opening up a chain of hamburger stands.
It's as good as any. We got a lot of notes from people about the antidepressant off-label prescription of SSRIs and antidepressants.
Yes, we did.
I can share a couple of them briefly. All anonymous, of course. Your comment about antidepressants being prescribed for other uses amongst youth at 32, which I don't know if it still counts as youth, well, you did to me. In January, I was prescribed with an antidepressant, amitriptyline, along with a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory and a muscle relaxant by a physician at the clinic at the university where I'm doing my PhD. I was scandalized when I learned that amitriptyline is an antidepressant and that the physician prescribed it to me without even telling me it was antidepressant. I almost took it without looking it up. Thank God for your show. You're welcome. Here's another one. Yes, some are used for pain management. I used one for a short time, not knowing it was an antidepressant. My wife said I was unbearable to be around because it made me irrational at times. I quit it quickly. And then we have a nurse, boots on the ground. I've been a psychiatric nurse for 17 years. We have no reason to doubt that. Paroxetine, Seroxat, and fluoxetine, Prozac, were famous for igniting impulsive conditions wherein people started killing others or themselves. I've seen a boy who killed his disabled brother because he couldn't control himself. I've seen a girl who he would have to watch constantly because otherwise she would kill herself. This is a known side effect. It is only in the first 3 weeks, but it is legal. How about that? This is all known. It's all known.
Yeah, it also makes you vote Democrat. Did you know that part? Did you mention anyone mention that?
I think that was the, my wife said I was unbearable and irrational. I think that was.
Yeah, right there. Boom. D.
We laugh, but it's really quite sad. It really
is sad, but we do laugh.
We have to laugh about it. I mean, if you can't laugh about it. Oh, we finally got the clip from, although it's not that spectacular, from the Law and Order Vax Party.
From at least, I would count six people.
Yeah, six or seven people. And here, 10 seconds is the only part. It's a party. There are people masked and people not masked. And there's a dude walking around with a syringe. And here we go.
So what are you into these days, Rich?
And don't say plastics.
Plastics, sir? Are you ready for your injection?
There you go. Are you ready for your injection, sir? It was a little anticlimactic.
it was not good. I'm glad you had the guts to do that.
It is anticlimactic, but yeah, this is what it is. It is what it is.
I have an Applebaum clip.
She just wrote another article in the Atlantic I saw.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's a staffer there now.
Well, she's a super elite. She travels in all the circles.
She's a spook.
Ann Applebaum, writer for The Atlantic, had this to say about Donald Trump's strange acquiescence to Russia. Listen to this and then let's talk about it.
Trump has a lot of motives here. He keeps very quiet about Russia and very quiet about Ukraine. He knows that Russia is unpopular, and rightly so, given the scenes that we've just seen. He knows that Ukraine is still popular. Polling shows Ukraine is popular in the United States. The cause of helping Ukraine is supported by most Americans. There's a majority in Congress for supporting Ukraine. The White House supports Ukraine. And yet he has ulterior motives. And, you know, we can... I hear versions of them, some to do with oil, some to do with trading with Russia, some may be personal. Maybe he thinks Putin will help him again in his election campaign.
What?
But the point is, we have a leader of the United States whose loyalties are not to the United States. They're not to American national interests. They're not to America's alliances.
Defending Russia. Instead of America's interests, and our allies, our interests, should be automatically disqualifying. But for some reason, in this current Republican Party and in this political environment, it's not even over. It's not over. Not even just overlooked. It's embraced. And so we really have to do our part this election cycle to make sure that someone like Trump, who has proven to be a traitor, not only to our country, but to our democracy, and now to our allies, cannot win in November.
If you're blue and you don't know where there's fake news, why don't you get your Gitmo fix? Putin on the red.
That's right, everybody. We can play all the old jingles. I'm happy about that. Well, there's one other presidential candidate who needs to be discussed briefly. Bobby the Op. Now, is he on the ballot in any? I know he's on the ballot in Utah. Can he? Can people keep asking me? Can I vote for him?
I think in the presidential election, I think he'll be on most ballots.
He will be on most ballots. Okay. Well, he did something on CNBC, which I think makes him electable for a lot of people. It was actually pretty decent, I thought, and I would like to share it. It's only a minute and a half. Bobby the Op on Bitcoin.
Bitcoin, you said you spoke at a conference, you bought something for your kids last year. You more than doubled your money if you're still holding. Are you still holding? I mean, let's just have a little fun here to end the segment.
Yeah, I am. I'm still holding. My kids are very, very happy about it.
Yeah, what's Bitcoin's real role? There are members of Congress, both parties, I believe, that think it should be banned.
Yeah, I mean, they want it banned because they're being paid by BlackRock and Morgan and all the big bank, globalist banking monopolies that are making money on inflation and making money on by the Fed printing money. But American people, the American middle class, is getting rolled, and the off-ramp from that, you know, from the money printing machine is Bitcoin, because it is hard currency. And we need to make it transactionally available to the middle class. We need to make sure that people who want to protect themselves against inflation can have this, but also that they have transactional freedom. That the government is not, you know, able now to digitalize our currencies and like they did in Canada. And when the truckers disobeyed, you know, when the truckers protested peacefully, their bank accounts were shut down. Well, and they couldn't pay their mortgages. They couldn't pay for their children's education. The government could control their speech by controlling their transactional freedom. And, you know, transactional freedom is as important as freedom of speech. And you only get that from Bitcoin. We're not going to get that, you know, as long as the government controls our digitalized currency.
All it needs to do now is join the Libertarian Party.
Well, a couple of things there. One, it's not hard currency. Hard currency is gold and silver.
Well, I'm not going to get in an argument with you about hard currency. It is hard currency. You said it. You started it. By definition, it is hard currency. It is hard to make.
So here, that's interesting. I like that little twist. Hard to make.
That's so
is a pumpkin pie then.
No, what is hard?
Because it's sometimes hard to make, especially if you haven't got an oven. Now,
John's new pumpkin coin, everybody.
So let's go to the downside of this, which you didn't even think about.
Oh, okay.
They're going to try to sink this guy, they can do it by slamming Bitcoin and dropping it back down to 10,000 or who knows what, and blame him for the loss. And say, look at this guy. He's recommending everyone go into Bitcoin, and look what happened. I would be very afraid if I was supporting Kennedy and Bitcoin at this point after what he did, because somebody's out to get Kennedy.
I love this that he's positive about Bitcoin. I really do. But you know, I'm pro Bitcoin.
Well, you're happy as a clam because Bitcoin's up to 62,000 or something like that. It's almost back to its highs.
Yes, and I believe it will go much higher, as you know.
Well, of course you do. You wouldn't be in it if you didn't think that way.
That's right. And Bobby the Op has a shot now. I think he has a shot. I think it's a good move. What else is he going to do? Who else is he going to appeal to?
I don't know. They really cordoned him off. I mean, talk about a guy with a lot of good messages that's been marginalized.
I mean,
he should have been running against Biden. The Democrat Party totally. Should be ashamed of itself.
They should be. Absolutely. They completely screwed him, cut him out of the deal, and won't give him any protection to boot.
Which is really the lowest
scummy
thing you get. Scumbags.
So maybe just call him Bitcoin Bobby from now on. Maybe that's a better term. Bitcoin Bobby. Because it defines him now. For me, RFK Jr. is now Bitcoin Bobby. We have been on this very podcast, which does not feature video, which that way you know that we're the real deal. We have been talking about pig butchering for months. Months. Do you remember our pig butchering conversations?
No.
Yes. Pig butch. Yes. We even took a call live on the show.
We did.
These are the text messages that come in. Hi, I'm this hot Asian chick. How you doing? What are you going to pick me up? Are we playing tennis today? You're supposed to say, what? What? And then they get you into some phony crypto scam. What actually is, they get you to a website where you're buying Bitcoin, believe it or not. And it's off the charts and you're winning. And if it's not Bitcoin, it's some other coin. And it's just a front and they've taken all your money. And they do it for months and months and months. Well, they finally have figured out where this is happening. It's
how long does it take to find any of these online scammers?
Oh, well, there's a whole.
Over a lot of them are over the phone. I get phone calls all the time, a couple times a day, with some bogus, you know, offer. Usually, I get 50% off on my PG&E bill. I'm from PG&E. The person says they're not from PG&E. They can barely speak English.
No, but this is different. This does not. There are no calls. This starts with you're not.
No. I'm just saying. How long does it take?
Yeah.
To catch these criminals.
Well, they were uncatchable because they were in scam factories. Yeah, scam factories.
Now, last month, the DW investigation revealed widespread human rights abuses at what are being called scam factories on the Myanmar-Thai border. Thousands of human trafficking victims are trapped in large compounds where they're forced to take part in online cryptocurrency scams that target people in Europe, the US, and China. Now, if they refuse, they're tortured, allegedly, or sold to other factories. Now, China, Thailand, and Myanmar have rescued more than 1,000 people. And I just wanted to clarify, so we're talking about scam factories here. So these are places where people are forced to get on the phone and trick people into doing something they don't want to do. Can you just explain that?
Exactly. So why we are also calling them victims is because these people who are forced to do these jobs are being trafficked into these compounds in Myanmar and other countries. And they are being trained and forced to reach out to people in Europe, in the US, in China, to build up a relationship and then to persuade them to invest mostly in cryptocurrency, fake websites, and then they're leaving them with, and the people lost a lot of money, which is also called pig butchering.
Mm-hmm. Pig butchering. There it is. And so sadly, these are slaves. So, you know, whenever you go like, hey, you know, I'm not going to, you get one of those text messages like, oh, I recognize your number, but I don't have you in my phone book. Who are you? And, you know, I say, hey, I'm not interested in your scam, your crypto scam. And they get really mad at you and start calling you names. But that's now I feel bad because they're slaves. You almost want to help them out. Thousands. They have pictures. These are huge compounds.
Who dreams up these? Somebody's good at management.
Definitely. Quick update on the chloramaquat that has been found in oat products like Cheerios and Oat Bran. Little report. Of course, you get no follow-up from the M5M. Little report here. Oat millers recommended not to use manipulator. So apparently, this chloramaquat, just exactly as our producer said, we're using this product called manipulator on oats. And that's what was getting it into our food supply. Who is watching these people? Who is watching the stuff that is put on the market?
No, they're too busy pushing the vaccine.
Exactly. Exactly. Your No Agenda show is watching out for you. That's who's looking out for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. A quick rest in peace for Bob Heil.
Yeah.
Kilo 9 mic. Echo India Delta. Yes. I mean, back in the day, the first mics we all used for our podcast was the Heil PR40. But I would say we do a disservice by saying that Bob supplied the ham radio industry and the podcast industry. I mean, he did entire sound systems for Grateful Dead, The Who, Joe Walsh, Frampton.
Yeah, we had a interview with him back in show, I think 728, 724, something like that.
Oh, did we put that on the air? We put the interview on the air?
Glad you're keeping up.
I can't remember. Did we?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was in the archives.
Did we do a special with Bob, or was it just...
It was one of those filler shows that I do a couple of interviews. I did one with Scully and Heil in that day.
Oh, right. Scully. Oh, and my goodness. Like, I forgot about that one.
In the 700s, so it was so long ago, you'd easily forget.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Bob, he was young, too. What was he? He was...
82, I think.
That's not very old.
Or 83.
83.
He's a nice guy.
I never met him, but I liked his product. I mean, I still use, Tina uses the Heil PR40. Sounds good for her voice. Thank you.
It's got a good range.
Yeah, it's a very good range. Thank you to all the producers who also calculated that no way was there ever a leap day, show day for No Agenda.
Wow.
I know, we got great people.
We got great nerds out there. Hey, let me think. Let me take a look.
The last time a leap year was on a show day was 2004. That was a Sunday. So, of course, we didn't have the show in 2004. The next time it will happen. So the next, you get ready, put it in your calendar. 2033. That's the next time.
The magic number?
Yes, the next time a leap year will happen on a show day.
Wow.
And I think we should hold out for it.
Okay. That'll be a special show. We'll have to get a special donation amount. I'm already working on the gimmick.
With inflation at that point, it'll be
it'd be like a $10 donation
today.
Send
us $20,000. Yeah. With that, I'd like to thank you for your courage in the morning to you, the man who put the C in the newcomers. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to my friend on the other end, one and only Mr. John C. DeBorah.
Hey, in the morning to you, Mr. Adam Curran. In the morning, our ships, sea, boots, and ground, feet in the air, subs in the water, and all the dames and eights out there.
And in the morning to the trolls in the troll room. Hold on a second, trolls. Let me count you for a second. Okay, good news. Last Sunday was 2,103 trolls listening live. We're up by 7, 2,110. This is going in the right direction. We've got a positive trend, a positive troll trend. I'm liking that a lot, trolls, which you can join at trollroom.io. Now, you don't want, you know, people, you may want to hang around because a lot of fun stuff happens in this portion of the show. All kinds of things pop up that are unexpected. So I'm just saying, and if you'd like good news, you definitely want to hang around. Now, you can join the trolls any Thursday or Sunday. You actually want to join trollroom.io a couple hours early. We have the two-hour blues show on before Darren O'Neill, who does 2 hours before we go live. It's actually 24/7 on noagendastream.com, which you can get at trollroom.io. Or you can also get, and I am going to promote a new modern podcast app, Podverse, which also alerts you when we go live. It has the live stream.
Isn't that the one you did last show?
No, I did Fountain on the last show. Fountain. Today I'm doing Podverse. There's 16 of them, so you can count them all. Collect them all. Oh, you should collect them all. And what you want to do is you want to support these small podcast apps because they are truly the only avenue left for freedom of speech. It's not a platform. Maybe one day we'll get blogs to come back, but seems unlikely at the moment. But when it comes to freedom of speech, your podcast app is very important. And it is independent. It is an independent index that powers it. It's not connected to anything Silicon Valley. And you can import all your existing podcasts and you get all the 27 new features, which includes updating within 90 seconds of publishing of this podcast. You will be alerted in your podcast app. That alone should make you say, hey, I want that. I want to be alerted immediately. We are at a value for value podcast, which I'm proud to say this has become a term that is being used everywhere now. People don't even know where it comes from, which I'm kind of proud of that. I hear people talking about value for value on Noster, value for value in the beef industry, at least in the independent beef industry. People are using this term and we coined it. And we've been using the concept for 16 years, which excludes creepy corporate money. It excludes commercials. It excludes levels and tote bags and subscriptions and all kinds of things that yet. No, we don't price it for you. Whatever this podcast is worth to you, we ask you to put that into a number and send it back to us. But it's not just that. It's time, talent, and treasure. So you can help us in many different ways. Look at the boots on the ground we're receiving. Listen to some of the clips that have been found, like so many, six, seven people go through the trouble of finding the Vax Party clip. Now, it didn't pay off the way we wanted to, but it's a contribution that we appreciate. We don't have listeners. We don't have an audience. We have producers, and it is your job to return the value with time, talent, or treasure. And people who do that constantly are the No Agenda artists. They really do a good job. We can only choose one, of course, for each show. We do that by going to noagendaartgenerator.com. Thank you, Sir Paul Couture, for setting that up for us in the new version, which has been around for well over a decade. And we need to thank the artists who we chose for the last episode. This was Mountain Jay, which I think is actually Lady Mountain Jay, because we've misgendered Mountain Jay several times. We've misgendered Mountain Jay several times. And, you know, I think we both looked at this and went, okay, AI clearly, but it was kind of funny. We had the frog leaping over the brown paper bag. We had a sandwich and it was watercolor. It was a watercolor prompt. I'm sure the prompt was frog jumping over brown bag lunch, watercolor. So, you know,
yeah, something like that.
Thank you for all that effort, Mountain Jay.
Although one I like the most, which you nixed.
Oh, wait a minute.
With extreme prejudice.
And which one was that?
The Dirty Jersey Whore, Texas is Burning clip.
Yes, I did.
Or art.
I did.
And I said, there's an art that's a nice piece. It's a pretty, it's stunning. It sticks out like a sore thumb. Yeah. And you said, not on my watch.
That's exactly what I said.
I'm never going to accept this. Too soon. People in Texas are suffering and they're mocking it. And you went on and on and on. I was like, okay.
We got a note from Nicole. And she says, I know this won't be read on the show. Well, there you go. A boots on the ground report from my grandmother and my uncle's houses were both burned completely to the ground. In Stinnett, Texas. She had her home for 60 plus years. Everyone's okay and they are taken care of and have a home for now. Just a little comment that this exact same thing happened last year. My grandma was evacuated just this time. It started the exact same spot. This is a yearly thing up here. This time the winds were just too intense. So please stop with the lasers from sky. Stop with the.
Hey, you're the one that dreams that stuff up, and you're now condemning our listeners.
No, because people. No, here, even in Texas. Oh, this is just like the Maui fires. No. I want to remind everybody how the Maui fire started, which we'll never hear the truth. The Maui fire started when the power lines went down. The power company turned off the power, but there were huge generators for the hotels that had been jacked back into the grid, and they reactivated those lines that were down. We have this on good authority from people who've seen the logs from the power companies and that there were surges through the lines that were down that restarted the fire after the fire department already left. And this in Texas, this just happens. And no, painting your roof blue will not stop the eye in the sky from zapping you when they do it for real. That thing, that drives me nuts. Oprah had her house, her roof painted blue. That's why they didn't burn her house. I mean, seriously, that's seriously.
Yeah,
that's,
I heard that too.
It's a little much. What else did we look at here? You like
that? Was it pretty much?
No, you like the cow in the drive through, which I asked if you were on drugs.
I did kind of like that. I also like Brown Bag at the NestWorks piece with the In-N-Out Burger logo, but
and you
the
like
big frog jumping out of the bag was just too silly looking and well done by whatever art generator was being used.
Yeah,
it was really just well done.
I think
it was, it was cute and funny.
What I think that when you use an AI, it would be helpful to us if you told us which one you used, just so we could know.
Where are they going to put that in the? Where how are they going to let us know this?
Well, if in the title, you can put it in the title.
Yeah, I guess you could.
I just like to. I mean, I'm interested. Which
now?
Which
okay. Well, now you changed it.
I have to because it's all AI. I mean, everyone's doing AI.
I mean, it's easier.
Mountain Jay was literally on Mastodon talking about how she had to change the prompt 100 times to get the desired result. I mean, okay, that's fine, but I just like to know.
It's a lot of work. You can do it by hand. Some people, Scaramanga, I believe, uses very little AI. I think he does once in a while.
But
I think
that's fine. I just like to know.
You know, I think sometimes it can be just as fast doing it by hand if you're good as prompt engineering.
Mm-hmm. Which I now have a name for. Prompt jockey, PJs.
I like that, prompt jockey.
Prompt jockey, prompt jockeys. I'm interested because, look, we have to give into it. AI is clearly...
We don't have to, but we did already.
We have to. But people are using AI.
No, we don't have to.
Artists are using AI. That's just the bottom line.
No, we don't have to. We'd get no art.
Well, there you go. We have to. There's no way around it.
No, we already did long ago.
Yeah, no way around it. Thank you very much, Mountain Jay.
The curious thing, it was once comic strip blogger who started the whole phenomenon. When he was doing it solo and producing good pieces, you were dead set against all AI art. But once everyone else started using it, it was okay. So you really do hate comic strip blogger.
Well, doesn't everybody?
Yeah, I guess so.
Now he's gonna send a note to Aaron. Please block Adam Curry from all Mastodon. He say horrible things to me. he's the guy that's saying you better get a new job because AGI is gonna take it within a year.
AGI is going nowhere fast.
AGI
is gonna be the end of it.
None of this stuff is. The only thing that's really working is audio, video, and images. There's some humor.
Images are kicking ass.
Yeah, images are great.
Or spot art, yeah.
Do you still want to license our content to one of these LLM bakeries?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's a bad idea if we can get some money.
I'm not going to get any money.
Somebody pays us.
No one cares.
You never know. We have so much good 3 hours for like 16 years of material about public events, current affairs, everything in between. 16 years of content, is a lot of it has already been moved to output and normal outputs. You can read it. I think it'd be great if somebody offered us some money.
Well, no one's offering so far.
Well, I mean, we're just at the beginning of this.
They're giving it to Reddit. Reddit's cleaning up. We're not getting anything. You believe
Reddit's kind of cleaning up, but once they go public and they're going to have to show in. I mean, it's going to be one hit of money, and then what?
Yeah, what does Reddit have a business model? Do they make money?
Not that I know of. Yeah, annoy people, see if you can get anything from them. I don't think that they have a model.
Well, there you go. Thank you very much to Mountain Jay. We appreciate it. We really appreciate you and all of the artists who participate in our Value for Value program. And now let's thank some of our executive and associate executive producers. Now, here's how this works. We'd like to thank everybody who returned value in the amount of $50 or more. And the top, so that's 300 plus, you also get a credit as an executive producer. which is just, that's exactly how Hollywood works. So you can use that credit to impress your friends, potential mates. You can put it on your LinkedIn, put it in your resume. You can also open up, if you don't have one, an IMDb profile and to prove it, like, hey, baby, look at me. I'm an executive producer. Between 200 and 300, associate executive producer. And of course, everybody's a producer, no matter what you do to return the value to the show. And we love doing it. We've been doing it for 16. We're in our 16th year, 16th, 17th. What are we, 16 years now? 16 years.
We're headed to our 17th anniversary.
Yeah, rocking and rolling. And we kick it off with Duchess Kim from Hubbard, Oregon, who comes in with a big boob donation, 882 cents. That's, have we ever had a boob donation that size?
I don't know.
That's big. Well, she has a note.
Those are big boobs.
Big boob. She says, and she has a couple requests here. She wants Screw Your Freedom, Little Girl Yay, and F Cancer and R2-D2 Karma. Okay, so we have all that. I can have all that lined up. Good. In the morning, John Adam, there's been a lot of boob talk as of late, and I felt this was my cue to chime in. After losing over half of my sweater puppies to stop breast cancer, I say, let them fly. Be proud of your ladies, ladies. Men just stare because they're jealous. If they had boobs, there would be no war because they would all be at home playing with them. I love a humorous woman. Us women are the only ones in the world that can handle this type of responsibility. Also, I want to answer a question Sir Kevin, Duke of Luna, lover of American boobs, asked. Yes, they can put squeaky toys in them. I asked my plastic surgeon, but I'm an avid runner. I did not think it would be appropriate running across the finish line squeaking, not to mention the pack of dogs I would have chasing me. You two are absolutely wonderful. I look forward to the podcast twice a week. I don't know if there's anyone who could replace either one of you. Keep up the good work and stay safe. Duchess Kim, keeper of the Nutty Fluffers from Hubbard, Oregon. Thank you very much, Duchess Kim. We appreciate that.
Screw your freedom.
You've got karma.
Yes, we should also mention to Duchess Kim that there may be an opening for a writer on the Gutfeld show. She might want to.
she'd be good for it, for sure. For sure.
Bowman McMahon in San Antonio, Texas, 333.33. And as a best note of the day, thanks, you all.
Well, there you go.
Give him a double up karma for that.
For that outstanding, outstanding.
You've got double up karma.
Then we go to Surplus. Surplus from Glenn Osmond in, is this Australia or Austria?
Yeah, Australia.
Australia. ITM, John and Adam, groups of three have been appearing, so I feel obliged to donate. That's how it works. You get the magic numbers. You know what you have to do. One of my blocks of Shiraz yielded 33 tons this week. Whoa.
Winemaker.
Yeah. And I had a Chenin Blanc. Am I pronouncing that right?
Chenin Blanc.
With a pH of 3.33.
Good number.
My 333 USD donation was a shade over 510 in dollary dues, and in order to capitalize on the woeful exchange rate, which is woeful indeed, I would like to reach out to Gitmo Nation. I'd be interested in expanding our distribution to cover the United States. My winery specializes in preservation-free wines.
Preservative.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Preservative-free wines. If you're interested, please reach out to admin@templebrewer.com.au. That is templebrewer.com.au. Thank you for your courage, Surplus, keeper of the Federal Reserve. John, this sounds like an exit strategy for you.
I can get into wine distribution.
Why not? I mean, you could.
Yeah, you can sit here and yak, or go out and actually do some work. Nah, I think I'll stick here.
You should write a book about it. That'd be great.
Well, I could.
Yeah.
How about a vinegar book first?
Please, don't get me started.
Franny Knudsen, meanwhile, in Plantation, Florida, comes in with 333.33, and she leaves no note whatsoever, so she gets a double up karma until she sends something in.
You've got double up karma.
And second. That's true set up. That's weird. Hold on. That's, I know the next one, I have to have that ready. I'm surprised that for some reason that didn't happen. Here we go. Clayton Moses, Anchorage, Alaska, 333. Please dub me properly as Sir Delicious Alicious. Pronounce Aloysius. Sir Delicious Aloysius. Got it. The blade of the black pines. Please say hello to my friend Vern. I guess he's becoming a knight today. Love the show, you boys. Jingle request, China's asshole. That's true. And JCD, me no likey.
China is asshole.
That's true.
Me no likey.
That's easy. Lovely. We'll see you in a bit, Clayton.
Angela Wang in Whittier, California. 233, first associate executive producer. Greetings from Shanghai. She's not in Whittier.
She's in Shanghai.
33 is my birthday and a show day, so it seems like a good time. I don't think she's on the birthday list.
Oh, so let me check.
Otherwise, it would be yellow.
Angela Yang.
So it seems like a good time to send some love. Thank you for keeping me entertained and informed. Please send karma for everyone, and you're going to need a Bitcoin. Shanghai meetup soon? I think, wasn't there a Shanghai meetup recently? I don't remember, but we'll go meet Angela in Shanghai. That's got to be that's the place. There are a lot of bars there, that's for sure.
They're saying that all hell is going to break loose, and you're going to need a Bitcoin.
You've got karma.
Then we have another great note from Sir Hugger of Kitties. And this is an associate executive producer just like Angela Wang. He is from Zaandam, the Netherlands. Row of Ducks, 222.22. And he says, hug more kitties. Yeah, we love that. We'll
sure
hug
and
them.
Sweet.
Yes, it is sweet.
Sir Pursuit of Peace. Peace.
Peace.
Some Sir peace. Pursuit of Peace and Tranquility, 222.2. Another row of ducks. And he actually sent us check-in and a note. In the morning, boys, please accept this shorter row of ducks for the month of February to keep myself current, bringing my total contributed treasure to $3,333.32. Adam, if you would kindly throw in a penny.
Yes, I got to dig in my pocket.
You can throw it in. There it is. 333.33. Counting below. Thanks, boys. Keeping it brief. Sincerely, Sir Pursuit of Peace and Tranquility in the lands of the red clay and the cherry trees.
We move on to Gigawatt Coffee Roasters in Bensonville, Illinois. I got my new cans. There it is. I drank a cold fusion this morning. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good.
Yeah, but you're wired.
And this is just completed. Here we go. This is just completed my 44th cycle around the sun on March 1st, which was celebrated with goat burgers and some fine craft beers. With every year, we gain a better perspective. I want to express my gratitude for this beautiful gift of life, family, friends, good food, and libations. And of course, the No Agenda Show for helping prevent swollen amygdala. Can I get a goat scream and a brisket for my birthday? Well, we have biscuits. I don't know about briskets. We'll give you a biscuit. And for producers who love coffee, visit gigawattcoffeeroasters.com and use code ITM20 for 20% off your coffee order. Stay caffeinated.
They always give me a biscuit on my birthday.
You've got karma.
There was something in there. Oh, yeah, a goat burger. I had never had a goat burger. I think that sounds good. People should note, if you can find it, you can usually get it at a Muslim butcher.
Or in Jamaica.
Maybe. I've never done it around here. We have a lot of Muslim butchers around here, so you can get goat.
Yeah. Remember,
goat is delicious. It tastes like people always think it's going to taste like crap. It actually tastes like a mild lamb.
Do you remember my Uber driver in San Francisco, Tony the Terrorist?
Yeah, Tony. Good old Tony.
Yeah. I miss Tony. You remember that one time he picked me up and he had a dead goat in the trunk?
I don't remember this story about the dead goat.
Hey, it was for Ramadan. He had a dead goat.
Yeah, well, that's what you do. You carry around a dead goat in the trunk.
I miss those days. Good times with Tony the Terrorist driving the Uber. Good times.
I'm going to skip. You're going to read this one. I'm going to read Linda Lupatkin in Lakewood, Colorado, comes with $200 and she wants jobs karma. For a resume that gets results, go to imagemakersinc.com. That's imagemakersinc with a K. It's not a big deal to do. She's doing very well for herself, she says.
Oh,
that's imagemakersinc with a K. Find her, Linda Lupatkin, Duchess of Jobs and writer of resumes on the producers list. And thank you for the additional $200.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
You saw karma.
Yes, then we have Adam Christman or Christman with double N. Love the show, Adam and John. This is a switcheroo for my amazing friend, Jonathan D. All right, we just switcherooed that for Jonathan D. He introduced me to the show in the early days of COVID. I've been a listener ever since. Well, then you are healthy. Jonathan epitomizes your connection is protection slogan. I travel often and JD is always looking out for my family when I'm gone. He gives me peace of mind by being so supportive. He recently made sure my driveway got plowed. Also changed a flat tire for my wife. A little producer credit is the least.
Well, they didn't have it reversed.
I hear there's an opening on Gutfeld show. A little producer credit is the least I could do for such a wonderful friend. Thanks, Jonathan. And thank you all for such a great show. And we appreciate that. Thank you very much. And I think we should also mention Spencer Sumner. He donated $230.23 in Canadian dollarettes, which we honor those. Although how much longer we can honor this clearly devalued monetary unit is questionable.
Listen, we should put a deadline. We should end it at some point.
Well, when it's 50%, maybe. Because, you know, it's not.
Okay, well, it's getting there.
It's $172.13, but we will give you the associate executive producership, Spencer Sumner,
from Sherwood
Park, Alberta, Canada. Thank you very much. And thank you, of course, to everyone who came in under $50. And John, going to take you all the way through there in a moment. And then we'll get to our nights and our birthdays and our meetups.
Yeah, and Brian Warner starts us off in Battle Creek, Michigan for $105.35. And Baron Latican, in Houston, Texas, $100. Then we go to Dame Relatastic, I think.
I think so, too.
In Auburn, California. She sent Mimi an email about the Too Many Eggs book. I'm not sure if anyone did this already. What is this? I don't know what she's talking about. John Robinet in 100. The Dame Relatastic was 100. Aaron Weiberg. Roberts, Wisconsin, 8438. Kevin McLaughlin, there he is, 8008, Concord, North Carolina. Hi, my name is Kevin. I have an addiction to boobs. We noticed. Sir Christopher Patrick Hill in Parkerville, Washington, 8008. I'm sorry, Parkerville, West Australia, Western Australia. Ryan Lane in Huntington Beach, California, 6611. Another dangling balls, double dicks.
Showing support for his Idaho and Cali chicks. Ooh, it rhymes.
Gerald, okay, it's Prebzeski and Prebzeski in Peru, Indiana. He sent a pronunciation guide because I would have pronounced this Prebzuski, but Prebzeski is the way it goes.
Hmm.
Peru, Indiana.
That's a Glenn Beck and donation.
It's a Beck donation. Can you believe it? 6009?
I need to go back on that show.
Yeah, actually, you should. Beck loves you. Don't pick up the soap. Sir Ladyboy in Mount Laurel Township, New Jersey, 6006. Used to be Bobby Brindlehorse. Lawrence Cornell in Battle Creek, Michigan, 5986. Martin in Bellingham, Washington, 5937. Sir Beboop in New Brighton, Minnesota, 5676. Brian Furley in 5510, double nickels on the dime. Sir Harry Pilgrim in Fredericksburg, Virginia, 5510. That's a birthday. We got a birthday coming up.
Well, that's Sir Harry Pilgrim, who has been with the show a long, long time. And we appreciate you, Sir Harry Pilgrim. It's his birthday, 55, double nickels. You got it, brother.
Herbert Garrett, Raleigh, North Carolina, 5510. Nicole Wilson, Farmington, New Mexico. Another birthday call out to
is smoking hot pregnant wife Nicole Wilson, 33, March 1st. Happy birthday, babe!
Peter Garten in Edina, Minnesota, 5272. Hugo Salgado, Minuteman donation, 5272. Top notch heating and air. Unfortunately, I don't have the town for this top notch heating and air, but if you ever see them, use their services. 5005 or 5050. Timothy Quat. What?
Coil? No, Coil. I think it's Coil.
Yeah, it's Coil. Should read this note. It's from Port St. Lucie. He's in for $50.01.
It's very important because we need to have Karina Coyle damed. I've emailed the accounting twice, need pickles at the round table, and she wants me, Timothy Coyle Jr., her husband, called out as a douchebag for listening since the beginning, sort of, but not donating till I met her and she told me to start donating. That's a woman.
That's a good woman.
Every show day at midnight, she hits me in the mouth and we kiss at every 33 throughout the day. Oh, that's beautiful. Well, I'd
say a shot of scotch would probably be good too.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Kiss and a shot of scotch every time. That's
beautiful. Pickles at the round table. You got it. Pickles.
Nuts. Ryan Sharp in Huntsville, Alabama comes in at 50, and now we're all 50s, just names and locations. Jordan Hoino, Salem, Oregon. Julie Minadio, Costa Mesa. Tony Lang, Castle Pines, Colorado. Brendan Locklear, Sugar Hill, Georgia. Justin Heiner, Vinegrove, Kentucky. Jordan Tierney in Oral, South Dakota. James Sharametta in Napanock, New York. Kurt Patrick in Nanaimo. I get criticized for not pronouncing it correctly, even though I've been there. BC, Canada. Charles Peterson in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Jacob Martinez in El Monte, California. Alex Wenka in Neosho, Wisconsin. Sir Mix in Fort St. John, BC. And last on the list, JBY Ketelaar in Amsterdam, Holland.
Ketelaar. And he says, I think he needs a de-douching. He says, I've been the biggest douchebag ever. Probably apologies. I've been with Adam since the Daily Source Code. Well, you've been around for a long time. And yes.
You've been de-douched.
And that's our group of producers, well-wishers, and supporters for show 1639.
Appreciate everyone who came in under $50, which is for many reasons of anonymity. We will never mention anything under $50. I see you, $49.99s. And big thank you to all of those on sustaining donations, which is a recurring subscription. There are many different versions available at noagendadonations.com. Or you can just make one up yourself, whatever you want. A lot of people like the 33s, and we appreciate you. We thank you for sending back value to the program. It keeps everything going. And, of course, thanks to our executive and associate executive producers for 1639.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
And we congratulate Eli the Coffee Guy, who turns 44 on March 1st, Nicole Wilson, 33 on March 1st, and Harry Pilgrim, who's turning 55, and also Angela Wang, who is celebrating today. And we say happy birthday and welcome to Gitmo Nation to Roman, who was born this morning right here in Fredericksburg. Happy birthday from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe. It's your birthday, yeah. So we no title changes, but we do have one knight and one dame, so I'm always happy to draw the sword.
Here you go.
Oh, that's a pretty one. I like that sword. Karina Coily. Coil. Clayton Moses. Hop on up here. Both of you are about to become members of the No Agenda Roundtable of the Knights and Dames. I am very proud to pronounce thee as Dame Karina Coil and Sir Delicious Aloysius, the Blade of the Black Pines. For you, we've got, by request, pickles. Also, rent boys, Chardonnay, hookers, blow. I mean, it's all here. We also have fish pie and some fellatio, if that's what you're into. We got Harlots and Haldol, beers and blunts. We got Ruben S. Women and Rosé, geishas and sake. We have ginger ale and gerbils, breast milk and pablum, sparkling cider and escorts, or mutton and meat, anybody? Of course, that's always the fan favorite. Now you can have some pickles on your mutton. It might taste good. Don't put it in the mead, though. And while you're munching away, go over to noagendarings.com. That's where you can select the ring of your choice, which is the same for both sexes. You do need to give us your ring size. We have a handy sizing guide there. And, of course, every single No Agenda Knight and Dame ring comes with its wax to seal your important correspondence, along with a certificate of authenticity. And we really appreciate you. Thank you so much for supporting the No Agenda Show.
No Agenda.
In a world where everybody is searching, whole generation of search, and all it results in is people just begging for likes. You know, this is not a life. This is not anything. Life online is just deteriorating. So the way to top yourself up to get a little more connection, which, as you know, provides protection, is to go to a No Agenda Meetup. You can find them at noagendameetups.com. It's just a great value for value production by our knight Daniel, Sir Daniel, who supports that. And, of course, we have Mimi from TooManyEggs.com, who always sorts everything out, make sure it's get posted, nothing bogus is in there. And we had a meetup in Georgia, the North Georgia meetup, who sent in a report.
In the morning, Adam and John, it's Sir Bob here from the North Georgia monthly meetup. Once again, we had a great turnout. We had great food, great drinks, and obviously great conversations. The next one will be Thursday, March 28th. So come one, come all. Let's hear what everybody had to say.
In the morning, this is Andy.
This is Sir E. Connection is protection.
Hey, this is Naira. Great to be back to see all the new faces.
In the morning, this is Sir R. I want to give a shout out to Cousin Vito and all the peeps who are currently getting together in the Mile High City. I would call on everyone to come out to Jasper for a meetup in 2 weeks. Got lots of chickens.
This is Rowan, North Georgia, here for my second meetup in the morning.
In the morning. So the conversation started about Pastor Jimmy, went through the Monroe Institute, landed on Sean Ryan, and then I learned a lot more about black soldier fly larvae than I ever thought I would. This is Sam in the morning.
Hey, N.A., Dr. Sir, Mike Roch. I'm not a spook. I'm just incredibly weird.
I'm Judy, and we need a free Snooki.
This is Cody Tinsley here with Cherry Street Brew Pub in Alpharetta, Georgia, hanging out with these wonderful fine folks tonight, twisting elbows and slinging drinks. Cheers.
Sports ball. It's always a good idea to get your server in on the meetup report. I like that a lot when you do that. And then, you know, because then you can say, hey, go listen to that show. And before you know, you've hit him in the mouth. And maybe the whole place.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. You get a bartender going.
Yeah.
They like to talk.
They love it. They love it. We have a couple of meetups taking place today. The Don't Be a Douchebag meetup, 5:30 at McNally's in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And on Thursday, the Northern Wake Spring Cleaning Soiree kicks off at 6 o'clock at Hoppy Endings in Raleigh, North Carolina. And in the week, we got San Antonio, Texas. Oh, that's good. San Antonio on the 9th. Also, Mount Laurel Township, New Jersey on the 9th. Pontiac, Michigan. Anchorage, Alaska. Middleburg, the Netherlands on the 9th. And then on the next Sunday, we'll have Albuquerque, New Mexico. Johns Island, South Carolina. Indianapolis, the Indy Meetup. That'll be their March meetup. You can find all of these at noagendameetups.com. Go there if you'd like to find out where there's one near you. If you can't find one, here's what you do. Go to your favorite bar, make sure you schedule it, and you can start one yourself. It's very easy. All instructions how to do it, noagendameetups.com. Connection is protection, people.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you want me, triggered on hell flame. You want to be where everybody feels the same.
Well, I have a feeling that you're probably going to get the winner for ISO, because I only have one, so, and it's not a great one at that.
All sorry. Right, play.
God, I mean, jeez, what?
Yeah, yeah, I know, I know, like I know,
from the
I know.
Tucker Carlson.
No, area. That was Anderson Cooper.
Ugh.
Yeah.
All right, I got four.
Oh boy! All right, which one are we going to choose?
Let's start with Had Enough.
Had had enough. I see.
I've had enough.
Okay. Yeah, I like it. That's not bad. That's not bad.
That's not bad. How about hey, hey?
Hey, hey.
Okay.
Would you play it? I thought were you saying it. Okay.
No. That I played it. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go with winner.
Winner.
low blow. Low blow. I'm trying to slip that one in as a winner.
And last, which is I think is the winner, is the personally, but you can go with anything. Thanks, Nancy.
Thanks, Nancy.
Yeah. No, you're right. Thanks, Nancy. It's good. Thanks, Nancy. Because neither of us is Nancy. I mean, you know.
We're both.
You're so sharp. I think the Gutfeld gig is yours.
I'm there.
All right, good news, everybody. This is what we do at the end of our show so that regardless of all the things you heard today, and there were several things that you might have laughed at, you thought it was news, but funny news, we brought you up to speed on most things today. Now let's end it with some really good news so you feel good as you go into your Sunday evening or Monday, whenever you're listening to it.
Okay, this was a dead baby. Dead baby story.
Dead baby. How can that be good news?
It's good news because it's not a dead baby.
What started off as a normal work shift turned into a night Long Branch firefighter David Phillips says he will never forget.
I started opening the door and was met by a family. It was a mother, a father, and a daughter, probably like teenage age. And they were screaming, banging on the doors. And as the door opened, maybe about a quarter of the way, they handed me a lifeless baby.
He says since the parents could not speak English, their eldest daughter had to act as the translator. And once the baby was placed in his hands, his training instantly kicked in.
I realized that the child was not breathing. It did have a pulse. The baby did have a pulse. And I immediately went into what we call back blows to try to dislodge whatever was obstructing the baby's airway, because that's the most important thing. Once we got the airway back, I was able to clear the airway, secure the airway, and shortly thereafter, I felt her take a breath in my left hand.
Phillips says they immediately gave the infant oxygen and called the ambulance. Captain Carl Griffin says he is proud of how the situation was handled and happy they were able to save a life.
Something like this, I think, was great because that family came to the right place and came to the right people. And because these guys here and them coming here, that baby's alive today.
In Long Branch, Emanuela Pierre, News 12, New Jersey.
Aw, there you go. New Jersey, good news. A rescue cat that ran up a tree. A lost dog is home and heavy. Will they play a good news clip? A good clip, we'll see. Good news, everybody. We love good news. Makes you feel good. It's like vitamins for your soul. Am I right?
Yeah, I wish I could get a good clip. There's a story about a four-year-old girl who climbed 30 feet up a tree like a cat, and they had to rescue her with some sort of, one of those pickers or something. It was hard to get her down.
Oh, cherry picker. Oh.
And I'm thinking, what kind of a four-year-old
climbs up the tree?
Up a 30-foot tree.
Some university like, this should girl, sign that kid.
You're going to hear from her.
Yeah. That'll do it for this episode of No Agenda. Of course, we'll be back on Thursday. End of show mixes from Professor Jay Jones, Rolando Gonzalez, and Maddie J. We have next on the No Agenda stream, if you're still logged into trollroom.io or your modern podcast app, we've got Hog Story. Episode 392, and I'm coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country and say, in the morning, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where it's going to rain again, I'm John C. Dvorak.
Meet us here again for all the deconstruction of the news and the good news, along with your mixes and all the fun stuff on Thursday. Till then, adios, mofos, a hooey hooey, and such.
For the over 48 million Americans who report using marijuana.
Two very common things, cannabis use, heart disease.
25% increased odds of having a heart attack, 42% higher odds of having a stroke.
Does it matter how you consume it, if you smoke it or if it's edibles?
As it comes down to so often, risk versus benefit.
Yeah. And it's still not federally legal, but a lot of people, they rely on it for a variety of reasons. Yeah. And anxiety, to replace alcohol, to relieve pain. Yeah.
25% increased odds of having a heart attack.
Does it matter how you consume it, if you smoke it or if it's edibles?
You know, it comes down to risk-benefit.
For the over 48 million Americans who report using marijuana.
42% higher odds of having a stroke.
But a lot of people, they rely on it for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
And anxiety, to replace alcohol, to relieve pain.
Yeah.
Increasing the risk of having a heart attack or stroke. Those who use it daily.
As it comes down to so often, risk versus benefit.
Yeah. Does it matter how you consume it, if you smoke it or if it's edibles? But a lot of people, they rely on it for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
And anxiety, to replace alcohol, to relieve pain.
Yeah.
Those who use it daily.
As it comes down to so often, risk versus benefit.
Yeah.
Council is focused on digital assets, runs, such as from runs on crypto asset platforms and stable coins. Potential vulnerabilities from crypto asset price volatility, proliferation of platforms acting outside of or out of compliance with applicable laws and regulations. Applicable rules and regulations should be enforced. Digital assets, runs, crypto asset platforms, stable coins, vulnerabilities, crypto asset price volatility, proliferation of platforms, compliance, applicable laws and regulations. Digital assets, runs, crypto asset platforms, stable coins, vulnerabilities, crypto asset price proliferation of platforms, potential vulnerabilities in crypto asset price volatility. And Congress should pass legislation to provide for the regulation of stable coins and of the spot market for crypto assets that are not securities. We look forward to continuing to engage with Congress on this.
With your dream.
It's Sunday, right?
Yeah. Floating with your dream.
It's Sunday, dumbass.
Floating with your dream.
Sunday.
Every Sunday after church. Floating church.
With your Sunday.
Dream. It's Sunday, remember?
We're heading for a Sunday afternoon.
The Sunday afternoon is perfect.
Roll up the highway. We're heading for a Sunday afternoon.
Guess what all of us are doing? Sunday afternoon.
Roll up the highway.
For Sunday?
Sunday.
Roll up the highway.
Super Blunt Sunday?
Roll up the highway.
Hey, John. Happy Sunday.
Sunday afternoon.
Sunday.
Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon.
Every Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon.
On Sundays, always Jay.
You can listen live on Thursdays.
What about Sunday?
Thursdays and Sundays.
Sunday afternoon. I love Sunday afternoon.
I love Sunday fun.
What time?
It's exactly the same as last Sunday.
Mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Thanks, Nancy.